ജയം ശുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദം ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദകി ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദകി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട് രാധാകുണ്ട് ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Shubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Evam Gauravani Prajarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാർ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യദാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാട് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയാം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാഭരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണാ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസം ആലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവാഹ്യനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഭാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂകുണിതാദൃദാനനിന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കനികാപികാപികാപി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമത് ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദം വ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ Yesterday we were discussing Krishna's pastime Damodara Leela. So Damodara Leela is the tattvam involved in the Damodara Leela mainly is from Yashoda's viewpoint. Yashoda wanted to tie Krishna down and Krishna wouldn't allow that to happen. Krishna resisted. Krishna says that bandhanam means bondage. In order to one who releases everyone from bondage, which is Krishna, one who releases everyone from bondage, who is Krishna, Yashoda wanted to put him under bondage. This is the principle behind it. If you see in the Narayaniyam, how it mentions there is that bandham, we all like to free ourselves from this bondage, isn't it? From the bondage. But ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതി യമേവ സജ്ജനം തം ഭവന്തമൈ ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതി സാ നിയുജ്യരശനാ ഗുണാൻ ബഹുന് അങ്കുലോനമഖിലം കിലൈക്ഷതാഹ ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതി യമേവ സജ്ജനം. സജ്ജനം മീൻസ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്. ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഹു ലൈക് കൃഷ്ണ ടു ബി ദയർ, ദ വൺ ഹു ക്യാൻ റിലീസ് എവറിബഡി ഫ്രം ബോണ്ടേജ്. തം ഭവന്തമൈ ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതി ആൻഡ് ബന്ധമിച്ഛതി യമേവ സജ്ജനം തം ഭവന്തമൈ ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതി. ഓൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഹും ഹു വാണ്ട്സ് ടു മേക്ക് കൃഷ്ണ ആസ് ദർ ക്ലോസ് റിലേഷൻ, മേക്ക് ഡിവലപ്പ് എ റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വിത്ത് കൃഷ്ണ. ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് ഡിഡ് യശോദ ഡു? സാ നിയുജ്യരശനാ ഗുണാൻ ബഹൂൻ തം ഭവന്തമൈ ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതി. യശോദ വാണ്ടിഡ് ടു തൈ ഹിം. ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതി യമേവ സജ്ജനം തം ഭവന്തമൈ ബന്ധുമിച്ഛതി സാ നിയുജ്യ അശനാ ഗുണാൻ ബഹൂൻ ദ്യുങ്കുലോനമഖിലം കിലൈക്ഷതാം. ദാറ്റ് ഷീ വാണ്ടഡ് ടു ബൈൻഡ് ഹിം. വൺ ഹു റിലീസസ് എവ്രിബഡി ഫ്രം ബോണ്ടേജ്, കൃഷ്ണ, ദാറ്റ് സുപ്രീം പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി, ആബ്സലൂട്ട് ട്രൂത്ത്, യശോദാദേവി വാണ്ടഡ് ടു ബൈൻഡ് ഹിം. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദി ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റിംഗ് ആസ്പെക്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ്. We, one who can release everyone from bondage, that is Krishna, isn't it? We are all in bondage. And one who can release us all from bondage is Krishna. And that Krishna, Yashoda Devi wanted to bind him. Bandhumichchadi yameva sajjanam tam bhavandamai bandhumichchadi sa niyujya ashana gunan bahun dyungulonam akhilam kilaikshadaha. When she wanted to do that, she brought the rope and started tying Krishna down, but always 2 inches short. Always 2 inches. Dyangulonam akhilam kilekshadaham. The 2 inches, it was always short. Vismidolsmida sakijane ekshidam svinnasanna vabusham nirikshadam. Nityamukta vaburapyaho hare bandhameva kvayanyumanyathaha. Vismidosmidasakijanekshidam. When Yashoda tried to bind Krishna, and when the rope was falling short, she was shocked. She thought she had a long rope to tie Krishna to the mortar. So she started looking into the gopis' faces, that something has gone wrong here. What's happened? Vismidosmidasakijanekshidam. In a shocked state, Yashoda is looking at all the gopis' faces. Svinnasannavabusham nirikshadam. And what was happening to Yashoda was, Svinnasannavabusham nirikshadam. Yashoda was sweating. She couldn't do very much physically. She was not so, with a fat body also, Yashoda was finding very difficult to do anything. So when she was trying to tie Krishna down and the rope was not long enough, the gopi said to Yashoda that will bring some ropes to help you to extend the length. So they brought some ropes from somewhere and they added it on, they joined it to the rope what Yashoda had, and still they try to tie him down, but always there is shortage of length, short of length. So Vismidolsmidasakijanekshidam svinnasannavavusham nirikshadam. At the same time when this was happening, Yashoda was sweating and also Yashoda was breathing very hard, not able to do anything about it. Svinnasannavavusham nirikshadam. And seeing this, gopis have also started feeling very difficult, lot of difficulty seeing Yashoda's situation. They were looking at Yashoda and Yashoda was looking at them mutually. Svinnasannavavusham nirikshadam nityamuktamavurapyaho hare. Nityamuktamavurapyaho hare. Who are you trying to tie down? One who can never be bound, always liberated. That is Krishna, isn't it? Krishna never comes under bondage like us, and you are trying to bind him. Nityamuktamavurapyaho hare. That Hari's body is nityamuktam. It is eternally liberated. It's not a body which you can bind like ours. We are all bound in this world, isn't it? With material body, bind, intelligence, senses, false ego, everything. Krishna doesn't have any of that. Krishna has a spiritual body. And nityamuktamavurapyaho hare. And this is the mistake Yashoda was doing, and she was not aware of what she was doing. Nityamuktamavurapyaho hare bandhameva kripayanumanyada. And when this happened, Krishna started feeling very bad, seeing the mother in such a state, helpless state, unable to do anything about it. So, bandhameva kripayanum anyathaha. At that time, Krishna thought that I will allow her to bind me, although one who can never be bound by anyone. And Krishna's kripa, grace. Seeing Yashoda's situation, if I don't now allow Yashoda to bind, she will break down. Because all her plans are getting upset from the morning. From the early hours in the morning, everything has gone wrong. Now at least let me allow her to bind me. Otherwise she will have a breakdown now. Krishna, sensing that, stood near to the mortar and allowed him to be bound to the mortar. So, Vismidolsmidasakijanekshidam svinnasannavavusham nirikshadam nityamuktavurapyaho hare bandhameva kribayanyumanyadaham stiyadam jiramulu ghale ghale tyagada bhavanameva sayadaham prag ulu ghala bilandare tada sarpirarpida tadaman tamadan avasthidaham. So when Yashoda found that Krishna was standing near the mortar, and the rope was able to bind again, Yashoda's false ego has come back. Oh, I bound him now. Even this is like us also. It's the same thing, isn't it? When we try to do something, if it fails, we feel helpless. But if it succeeds, back again. This is the way false ego operates in everybody. False ego operates like that. If you try to bring him down somewhere else he'll pop up.
So that's the nature. Stiyavam chiramulu khale khale tyagada bhavanam evasa yadaham.
So, after tying Krishna, Yashoda says to him in a very serious tone, now you stand there for the whole day, in a very chastising tone, says to Krishna, you stay there now for the whole day, like a mother does. Says, Stiyadam jiramulu khale khale tyagada bhavanam evasa yadaham pragulu galabilandare tatha sarpilarpita damannavastidaham. That when Yashoda left saying that, what did Krishna do at that time? Krishna immediately had been hiding the butter inside that hole in the mortar, took it out and started having a feast again with the butter. So that's how Krishna's this pastime, childhood pastime of Damodara Leela.
Yadyabhasha sukamo vibho bhavan samyadakkimu sabhashayanayam evamadi divijairabhishtutom vadhanada paribahimam gadal.
So normally
yadyabhasha sukamo vibho bhavan,
normally Krishna is accessible to only those who are free from bondage. Isn't it? One who has released themselves from material life, who have completely released themselves from material existence, or in other words, from the cycle of even birth and death, and one who has completely realized the truth, only for them Krishna is accessible.
Yadyabhasa sukamo vibho bhavan.
Krishna's position is like that. Normally, ordinary people won't have any access to Krishna because of our attachment to this world, attachment to the body, mind, intelligence, ego, and all our sense gratification in this world. So we have no access to Krishna.
Yadyabhasha sukamo vibho bhavan samyadakkimu sabhashayanaya.
But how come it has become accessible to Yashoda Devi?
Evam adidivijai rabhishtutom.
And all the personalities in the heavenly planets were wondering how Krishna has allowed this to happen. Then Krishna has agreed himself to be bound by like this by a devotee, by Yashoda Devi.
So, Samidyabhasha sukamo vibho bhavan samyadakkimu sabhashayanaya evamadidi vijayirabhishtuto.
That this is how they were thinking about Yashoda and Yashoda Devi tied Krishna down and moved away from there. She went home. Now, as we talked about it yesterday, that our sadhana, our effort, everything, it has its own limitations. It has its own limitations. Sometimes you can perform so many things in this world. You can perform your sadhana, meditation, pranayamam, yogam, yoga practices, ashtanga yogam, and studying shastram, javam. So many things we can do here, but ultimately, only when that false ego goes away from inside, Krishna is accessible. Otherwise, Krishna is not accessible. Sadhana also, who is doing sadhana? Ahangaram is doing sadhana inside. We are always thinking like that, isn't it? You can fast, perform a lot of austerities and penances, but still to get Krishna is very difficult. And that is why at the stage comes when our ego surrenders to Krishna, that I cannot do it. I can't do it. This ego will surrender at some point, and that is when Krishna becomes accessible to anybody.
Bandhameva kribayanumanyadaha.
That is what that says.
Bandhameva kribayanumanyadaha.
That kripa, or Krishna's grace, or Krishna's mercy, when that comes, then bandhameva kribayanumanyadaha. You will release from this bondage in this world. Otherwise, it will not happen. So dependent on Krishna for the for success in spiritual life. Any sadhana or any yoga system, nothing can work till that happens. So till now, there is not one devotee who has said, I have got Krishna by my sadhana. Take that. You can tell me one, if there is one devotee. We talk about sadhana a lot, isn't it? There is not one devotee in this world till now who said, I got Krishna because of my sadhana. That is where it stands.
All devotees who have done a lot of sadhana ultimately said it was Krishna's mercy. That has made this life success. So do not put too much faith in the sadhana. But is sadhana not necessary? Sadhana is necessary because it is through sadhana this false ego, peak of the false ego will get broken. Otherwise the false ego won't break inside. That will happen through sadhana. The ego will go away from through sadhana. Famous devotees, whether they are Alwars, Anayanas, everyone vouches for this. They all agree on this one point. Manikavachakar, one famous devotee of Lord Shiva, he says like this, that I'm not getting it. I've tried everything. I'm not getting it, he says. And even if sadhana, if we perform with a lot of pride inside, oh, I've done my 64 rounds or 192 rounds or whatever, all this sadhana I have done, perform. But because false ego is hiding inside that sadhana. Inside that sadhana, the false ego is hiding. Therefore, we won't get Krishna because of that. Unless we remove that false ego from that sadhana, kripa will not happen. Mercy will not happen. And kripa, if the kripa is there, if kripa or Krishna's grace is there, very easily it happens. No matter how intelligent you are, how much intelligence you have, and if you apply the intelligence, even there you won't get it. Why? Taimanavar says that. He says that I studied all the shastram, very learned person he was, and analyzed the shastram very well, and discussed everything, and ultimately he couldn't make any success in spiritual life. And he goes to ask his spiritual master about that. Why is that? I have studied all the shastram and still I have not got the vastu. Vastu means Krishna. I haven't got the vastu. The spiritual master told him, please keep your, because he was so intelligent, Taimanavar was so intelligent, he says to Taimanavar, keep your intelligence away and look at Krishna through the grace, through the eyes of the grace, and then you will get it, he said. And this grace, without knowing what Krishna's grace means, without knowing that, what the grace means, if you start applying our logic and reasoning and keep on trying, still you will see the darkness. You won't get to the light. This is the way it operates. It's the way it operates. And also you will never get to know what your spiritual identity is. Spiritual identity is. That means self-realization will not happen as long as this false ego operates. And when the spiritual master's mercy comes, the disciple also starts experiencing that Krishna's presence within the heart. And when Krishna allowed Yashoda to, out of causeless mercy, when Krishna allowed Yashoda to enjoy, to realize the truth, immediately the rope was of sufficient length. Rope was sufficient length. And that's how the name Damodara has come. So it was at this time that Krishna has been tied now. Suddenly Krishna thought something in his mind. What was that? Krishna was thinking, there were two trees standing a little further, and those two, they were my devotees. What has happened to them? Narada Maharshi has told them, they have offended Narada Muni, and Narada Muni has told them, you go and stand there in Vrindavanam with the as true trees, and when Krishna comes, he will get you out of that situation. That is that story, you know, Nalakuvera and Manigriva story in the Bhagavatam. That two of Kuvera's children, Kuvera was the treasurer of the demigods, his two children, Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they were engaged in a very enjoying mood. They went to the Alaganda River and they were bathing there. And not only that they were bathing, they were drunk as well. Plus, they had no clothes even. And they were having a great time in the river, bathing in the nice cold water there.
Sri Narada Maharshi came that way. When Narada Maharshi came, they didn't care. They didn't, because of the intoxication inside. Intoxicated, they didn't bother. Oh, is Narada Maharshi after all? He will go his own way. Why bother? That was the way they thought about that. So, and Narada Maharshi thought, this is the time now that they need some education, proper education. And Narada Maharshi cursed them that they should become two trees. They should become two trees. And Nalagavera and Manigriva immediately realized that they will have to accept the body of a tree. And they were asked, they asked for release from the curse. Sri Narada Maharshi said, 100 years you stand there. And when Krishna appears there, he will come and release you from that body of the tree. From the body of the tree. And so those two were standing there, those two trees. And Krishna was standing there and thinking, today is that the 100th year finishing. 100 years he was asked to told to stand there. So the 100 years is over. So I have to make that Narada Maharshi's word true. So thinking that, Krishna started moving towards the trees, pulling this mortar along with him. In the earlier pastimes, if you see, you will look at it in the earlier, you will see when Krishna's in the last chapter, in the 8th chapter, so after this particular pastime, that is this Damodara Leela, the next one is Nalakuvera and Manigriva releasing these two personalities from the bondage. These two personalities from the bondage. But in the last chapter, if you look, when we talked about as a little boy, when he ran into the houses of the gopis and gave them a lot of trouble, at that time Sukadeva Goswami mentions there in verse 30 what all he used to do in that state. Verse 30, Hastagrahye rajayadividhim pidagolughalade chidram andaranhidavayuna shikya bandesha tadvil dvandagare dradamaniganam swangamartha pradivam kale gopyo yarhi grihakriteshu suvyagrachitaha Hastagrahye rajayadividhim pidagolughalade chidram andaranhidavayuna shikya bandesha tadvil Dvandagare dradamaniganam swangam artha pradibam kale gopyo yarhi grihakriteshu suvyagrachitaham. When Krishna wanted to climb up, when he couldn't get anything, he used to utilize all these tools and other tables, everything to get to the top. And Shidram nindar nihidavayina shikya bhandayesha tadvid. He poke into the pots and break it open. Dvandagare dradamaniganam swangamartha pradibam. That dvandagare dradamaniganam, there was no light in the rooms. But the jewels what Krishna was wearing, the light from that was sufficient for Krishna to see the things. Dvandagare dradamaniganam swangamartha pradibam. And at the morning hours, when the gopis are very busy at home doing various things, Kale gopyo yarhi grihakriteshu suvyagrachitaha. Kale gopyo yarhi grihakriteshu suvyagrachitaha. That means early hours in the morning, gopis were busy with what? Grihakriteshu. They were absorbed in the activities at home, cleaning the house, and start their cooking, looking after the children, attending to the older people in the family. Like this, they have various things to do at home. Milking the cows, so many activities. Kale gopyo yarhi grihakriteshu suvyagrachitaha. That they were so absorbed in their duty, and Krishna thought this is the right time to break the pots and steal the butter. Though that was Krishna's plans. Evam darshtyana shati gurute mehanadi nivastav steyo bhayer virajita kriti supradigo yathaste. Next verse. Itham sribhi sabhayanayana shrimugalogini bhir vyakhyadartha prahasidamukhi nahyubha labdhumaychan.
that that naughty nature in Krishna, how naughty he was. If you say something, there is an answer for everything. You know, some children are like that. You can't say anything to them. Or everything, there is a reply. They have an answer. Sometimes you get so angry with them, isn't it? When they talk back like that. People tell them, don't talk back, they say to them. But they will. Evam darsht, that's called dharshtyam. Dharshtyam means a kind of ego inside. Doesn't care for anybody. Evam darshtyanushadi kurudeyam. Dharshtyam is that. Dharshtyam means, you say something, just opposite he will tell you. That is the nature. Evam dharshtyam. Evam dharshtya ushadi kurude mehanadini vastav. And if you chastise him too much, he will pass urine or something in the place and he will go. Deliberately agitating the gopis. Deliberately agitating the gopis. Evam dharshtya ushadi kurude mehanadini vastav. That three verses, 29, 30 and 31 in that chapter 8 is a generalization of Krishna's mood in the childhood pastimes. Those three verses. 29, 30 and 31. Three long verses. Sudeva Goswami used those three long verses to say, explain Krishna's mood in the childhood. What it was like. Evam darshtyan shati kurude mehanadi ini vastavum. And stayo bhair virajitakriti supradigo yathasti. And try to make gopi's life very difficult. As difficult as possible. Stealing things one after the other. And when the gopis start complaining about it, Krishna will look at the gopis and show his anger. Why you are complaining against me? What have I done? So that's the attitude. Completely non-cooperation and giving as much trouble as possible. Itam sribhi sabhaya naina shri mukalogini bhir. So, because it was like that, Yashoda was in a very difficult situation. Gopis were very dear to Yashoda because they were all very dependent on Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. She was the chief of the gopis, among the gopis. And they were coming to complain about their own son. So you can imagine their situation. Both sides, they have the affection for both. One side, the gopis he is very affectionate to the gopis, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. On the other side, Krishna, their son, is doing all these things. So that was the difficult situation for them. For rich people, it's always like that, isn't it? Their own son goes and does some things in the society, and the society complains about them, they are put in a dilemma. They do not know how to solve the problem. So, here the same situation. Itham sribhis sabhayanaina shrimuga logini bhairum. When they come and complain, Krishna is looking at them and in indirectly asking them, you are going to complain about me, aren't you? This is the mood. That's the way he looks at them. And waiting there, what you have got to say about me? Each and every gopi was feeling that difficult situation. They want to say something about Krishna, but they can't say anything because they thought if they complain too much, it will upset Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And on the other hand, they were getting into such problems that they couldn't resist from not complaining. The both things were going through their mind also. One side, Krishna is putting the pressure. On the other side, their attachment, their respect for Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were very kind to them. So, itham sribhis sabhayanaina srimukha alogini bhairum. Vyakhyadhartha prakasidamukhi nahyubhalabdhumaichan. Then, what did Yashoda do? Yashoda was trying to make it as calm it down as much as possible. What she will do is that when she was hearing all these things, she didn't chastise Krishna. She didn't say anything to Krishna. Even though all these complaints were pouring in from everybody. So many complaints were coming, but Yashoda was keeping quiet, not saying anything to Krishna. The interesting thing here is, although gopis were complaining, they did not want Krishna to stop. They wanted Krishna to keep coming and doing the same things again. This was that
relationship between Krishna and the gopis. Krishna, they never wanted, because at one, when they were leaving Nanda Maharaj's house, they were looking at Krishna and thinking that we have complained about you, but you won't stop coming to our house, would you? This is that heart of the gopis, the devotional nature of the gopis, because this relationship between gopis and Krishna has not started that day. It has started from the day Krishna appeared in Gokulam. You will see that in the Bhagavatam, when you look in the beginning, you will see the first day itself, Sukadeva Goswami says there that he was standing and watching. He says, Krishna I can see later, but I'd like to see the devotees, how they go to see Krishna. You will notice that in the beginning, if you remember, that he talks about that very extensively. He says that after the appearance in the third chapter, after the appearance, you will see that Vasudeva and Devaki has come, and in the Vasudeva and Devaki has glorified, which we have discussed before, and after that Yogamaya escaped, and later on in the fifth chapter is the Nandotsavam, that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi all celebrating the appearance of Krishna. Nandotsavam is a big festival, more than Janmashtami, in the sense that it is during Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they gave 5-day celebration in Vrindavanam, in Gokulam, for the appearance of Krishna. It is on the 6th day Pudana was killed. So this 5 days festival which lasted, that in that festival, as soon as the announcement was made that all the gopis and cowherd boys must come, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi has invited them. Banging the drums, announcements were made all over Gokulam. So they all started coming, and it was at that point that Sukadeva Goswami says there that I'm not in a rush to go and see Krishna. I want to see these devotees. Sometimes it is like that. When you look at the devotees when they go into the temple, looking at their faces, different emotions, all that gopis very nicely dressed, and the cowherd men with their big turban and everything, they looked very impressive. And Sukadeva Goswami says there, both of them, he talks about both of them. He says, Maharha Vastra Bharanam Kanjagoshni Ishabhushidaham, 8th verse, Gopa Samaya Yurajan Nanopayana Panayam. And about the gopis, he says, Gopya Samarshta Manikundala Nishkakandya Chitrambaraha Patishikachuda Malyavarshaha Nandalayam Savalaya Vrajadir Virajur Vyalola Kundala Payodhara Harashopaha. That gopis are in a line, they are moving one behind the other, and they are carrying different things with them to present it to Krishna. Most of them have brought a lot of milk and butter, and this is their wealth, isn't it? So they are carrying all these things and going, and they have put their best clothes on. And gopis have also put a lot of flowers on their hair. They looked very attractive. And it says there, Gopya Samrishta Manikundala Nishkakandhyaha Chitrambaraha Patishikachuda Malyavarshaha. That constantly when they were walking to Nanda Maharaj's home, flowers were falling from all over, and Surya Goswami is keeping an eye on all these things. Patishikachuda Malyavarshaha. And Nandalayam Savalaya Vrajadir Viraju. That when the gopis have arrived there, Vyalola Kundala Payodhara Harashobhaha. That the gopis had their earrings and they were reflecting on their cheeks. Even to such minute details, our Sukadeva Goswami has discussed all these things there. So, after saying all that, after this, when summarizing this Balalila, Krishna says there that not only he stole butter and milk from them, he stole their heart as well. That was the most important thing. Not just the whole idea of all these childhood pastimes is to make the gopis devotees. They became devotees because of this childhood pastimes. That was the attraction. It is through childhood pastimes that gopis have become the devotees. They got attached to Krishna in that way. After that, they couldn't break away from that. Evam dashta, this is all a part of that. Which one?
this passing urine stool everywhere and making life as difficult as possible for the gopis. Gopis never complained about it. So inside they were happy, but they'll still go and tell Yashoda Devi. The idea was, we'll go to Yashoda so they can see Krishna there again. For that purpose they'll go. But in the pretext that they have come to complain. But there was no complaint at all from inside their heart. They were happy that Krishna had come. There are so many stories after this mentioned in the different Garga Bhagavatam also. It says a lot of things about it. Garga Maharshi, because he gave the names to Krishna and Balaram, Krishna thought at that day that I should give him some present for what he has done. Because through Namadhanam, giving the name to Krishna, and also through the Jatakarmam, that means performing the birth ceremony and preparing the horoscope, Gargamuni has given a special license to everybody, to Krishna. What was that? He said that if you try to give trouble to him, your head will go. That was mentioned, a warning. So Krishna thought, well, he has given me the freedom now to do the license. So because they all believed in that horoscope very much. So then onwards, Nanda Maharaj always used to tell Yashoda, don't chastise him because your head will go. Yashoda won't be there anymore after that. So Nanda Maharaj was worried. And Nanda Maharaj also won't say anything to Krishna. He was so, not frightened, but that was his nature. Such a kind-hearted person. That no matter what he does, Krishna, Nanda Maharaj won't say anything to Krishna. That was his very nature. So anyway, Krishna took that, this is the license for me to do what I like. And so continued doing whatever he wanted. Evam dharshtya nishadi gurude, that dharshtyam. Dharshtyam means this bloody-mindedness inside or that stubbornness inside. Ushadi gurude mehana dini vastav. Steyobayer virajitakriti supradigo yathastheyam. Steyobayer virajitakriti. Steya means to steal. That kind of activity. All kinds of planning, plan making and stealing. All these kind of things. Virajitakriti supradigo yathastheyam. Ittam sthribhi sabhayanaina shrimuga logini bhir. Vyakhyadhartha prakasidamukhi nahyubha labdhumaichal. So when the gopis come and giving a detailed explanation of all what Krishna has done, that is called Vyakhyanam. Vyakhyanam means a detailed explanation of commentary on Krishna's activity. Gopis will come and give a commentary on that. Vyakhyatarthe, then Vyakhyanam, or it means the commentary, happens on that. Prahasidamukhi, Yashoda will smile, thinking about her son's heroic activities. Prahasidamukhi na hyubha labdhu maichal. In spite of that, smiling, she would not say anything against Krishna. Because of the warning from Gargamuni, that don't upset him. If you upset him, head will go. That you won't say anything after that. So after that, we had this Damodar Leela we discussed yesterday. And now what has happened is, that they have gone to Krishna is moving slowly towards the Nalakubera and Manigriva. So that is where we were talking about it. And after that pastime, everybody knows Krishna walked in and he looked at Nalakubera and Manigriva. And Nalakubera and Manigriva started the glorification of Krishna. By then, Krishna has pulled the mortar between the two trees. And they fell. And the two trees fell. There was nobody there. Yashoda was not there. Gopis have all gone away. Cowherd boys were away. Nanda Maharaj wasn't there. So it is then that when these two trees fell, it created a big noise everywhere. So they all came running to see what has happened. And they saw these two trees have fallen. The devotees talk about it in different ways. That when the Nalakubera and Manigriva when Krishna went inside with the mortar, Nalakubera and Manigriva, they were waiting that they are pulled down by the mortar. And the mortar was tied in such a way, it won't go directly inside the tree.
It couldn't go. It was in a cross situation. So he had to put it, he was tied to the mortar, and mortar has to be put properly so the trees comes down. So Krishna decided to move that mortar by his yoga power inside. And in the Bhagavatam it says like that. So when they pulled it down, the two trees fell, and Nalagavir and Manigiri were standing there and started their glorification of Krishna. They started glorifying Krishna. First to thank Krishna for what he has done and releasing them from that bondage. Isn't it? Earlier, one who is bound, one who cannot be bound, but he is now under bondage. Krishna is under bondage now. He is tied down and he is releasing others from the bondage. This is the interesting side. That Krishna is bound now by Yashoda to the mortar and he is going and releasing everybody from the bondage in that situation. So when the noise came out, cowherd boys came running looking for what was happening. Nanda Maharaj also came to see what is going on. And Nanda Maharaj saw what has happened, the two trees. Nothing has happened to my son, he was thinking. The two trees have fallen, but none of them have fallen on him. If it had it fallen. And Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda is talking at that time, each other, that had the trees fallen on Krishna, what would have happened? Just like we will say like that, isn't it? Had this happened, what would have happened? And all that. When accident happens, we say like that. If we escape, sometimes we will mention it that way. So, that is the most important prayers there in that chapter, ninth chapter. You will see that important prayers comes in the 10th chapter. So there, you can see there that the prayers from beginning there, there is a lot of verses there. We will not go through all of them because there is a lot of things. Shri Shuka Vacha, verse 23 in the 10th chapter, where the prayers begin. Eva Muktva Asadeva Shirgado Narayana Ashramam Nalaguvaramani Grivastur Yamalarjuna Krishair Bhagavada Mukhyasya Satam Kartim Vajo Hari Jagama Shanagai Satrayatrastam Yamalarjuna. Then Devarshi me priyadamau yadidau dhanadalmajau tathatha sadhayishyami yadgidam tan mahalmanah. So here some important thing. Devarshi me priyadamau yadimau dhanadalmajau, that 25th verse, that's an important verse. Why is it important? Because that is what actually reminded Krishna of these two trees standing there. That my devotee Srinarada Maharshi has given a word to these Nalakuvera and Manigriva in the Himalayas before. That is where it happened. This incident happened somewhere in Himalayas, Alaknanda river bank, where they were bathing. And due to their pride and due to their ignorance also, that they did not respect Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi doesn't require any respect from anyone. His only business is when someone is in a particularly personalities like Kuvera and Manigriva, when they were very proud and seeing their fallen condition, Narada Maharshi wanted to release them from that, to get rid of their ego. And there are a lot of things there. That first of all, they were children of the wealthiest person, Kuvera. Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. That means very wealthy. So wealthy people, their children also will be very proud, isn't it? Because they think the parents are wealthy, and therefore that pride will follow them. It is quite natural. You will see in every society, it is like that. Very rarely you will see any humility there. Because of the pride that comes from the wealth. Pride that comes from the wealth. So, Devarshime Priyadamau. First of all, being the children of the wealthy person, that pride inside. That's one. Secondly, because they were also the children of the wealthy person, they were very educated as well. So, Dhanamadam, from the wealth, that pride, then the pride from the education, that youthful nature, when the youth, when they are educated, they have that pride as well. And Sukadeva Goswami says there is one more pride they had. What is that? The best pride of all. From the alcohol. Having drunk. Both of them were very drunk as well. So, for all the three pride, because that normally, that is a problem with intoxication, isn't it? People ask this question. Why, what is harm if I get in? I'm not giving any trouble to anybody, says he. No, you're not giving any trouble to anybody, but you are destroying yourself in the sense that the ego in a person gets very strong when you are under the effect of alcohol. So that is the problem. There is no other problem. That you may not disturb anyone, you may not give pain to anybody, but still the ego gets very, very strong. And that is in a certain level it happens. All the four regulative principles what we talk about has its own subtle effect in us. That is more important. That is more important. Meat eating makes a person merciless, cruel to each other. Alcohol meets, creates arrogance inside, the pride and arrogance inside. Illicit sex life creates bodily concept of life very deeper, very stronger. Identification with the body becomes very stronger. And gambling makes a person dishonest, becomes very, uses all the truthful qualities, goes away from a person. So these are the reason why we say in Kali Yuga that these things are created by these sinful activities. That and when these four things happen, very difficult to get to understand spiritual life. That is the problem. You will never understand what spiritual life is when all these four things are very strongly present inside. They are all representation of Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So Rajogunam, Tamogunam builds up because of these things. This is the reason why we say don't drink. Not that you get drunk, your liver goes away and you go to hospital. That's another thing. That is a very, that's another side of it, but that is only allows, pertains to someone. But, the subtle effect of this drinking is that ego gets very high in a person. He becomes so egoistic, and that's what has happened to Nalakovera and Manigriva also here. They were drunk and they were used to drinking, and actually the effect of the alcohol was such, the pride inside. We are somebody in this world. So Srinarada Maharshi thought that this cannot go on. Then after all, Srinarada Maharshi was compassionate to them because of Kuvera's children they were. Kuvera is a devotee. Kuvera came to see Dhruva Maharaj, if you remember. We spoke to Dhruva Maharaj very nicely. In the Dhruva Stuti, you will see that. So, here, what happened was that Devarshime Priyatamau. So, when Nalakuvera and Manigriva, when the trees fell and Nalakuvera and Manigriva appeared, they started glorifying Krishna. And Krishna was not interested in hearing anything. He doesn't want all these kind of glorifications. So, what happened was, at that time, they mentioned about Sri Narada Maharshi. When Narada Maharshi's name was mentioned, Krishna started hearing seriously, taking it seriously. That is how it is. Our relationship with Krishna is always not direct, not very direct. We can go on glorifying Krishna, but at some point in time, if you mention a great devotee's name, Krishna will give attention to it. That's the way Krishna is. That is Krishna's tradition and system. That a great devotee, he has spoken like this, immediately Krishna will give attention to it. Otherwise, it's quite difficult to get Krishna's attention. So, Devarshime Priyadamau. Krishna is saying there, Devarshime Priyadamau. Oh, they are talking about Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi is very dear to me, he says. Yadimau dhanada alpajau. Not only that, they are Kubera's children. Kubera is also very dear to me. So, that is the way Krishna sees things. Devarshime priyadamau yadidau dhanada alpajau. Tathada sathayishyami yadgidam dhan mahalpanaham. Tathada sathayishyami. Therefore, they are very dear to me. They on their own are not very dear to me. But because Srinarada Maharshi had sent them here and they had mentioned Narada Maharshi's name, therefore they are dear to me. They are dear to me. Similarly, they are children of Kubera, so they are dear to me. So Krishna looks into all these things as well.
So after that, the proper prayer started, but it finishes, carries on, the prayers goes on. But if you look into verse 38, that is the most important verse in that prayers. That's the very end, the last verse in the prayers of Nalakuveran Manikriva.
Vani gunanu kathane shravano kathayam hastauja karma sumanastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishtisadam darshanestu bhavatanunam.
That is how they concluded their glorification. Sometimes if you look into glorifications, you will see somewhere there is something very important mentioned. That is the very nature of this glorification. Otherwise, if you look into that, Nama Parama Kalyanam, Nama Parama Mangalam, Vasudeva Shanda, Yamuna Padaye Nama, in different ways they are paying their respects to Krishna. But when it came to this verse, it is a continuous flow of that realization.
Vani kunanu kathane shravano kathayam hastauja karmasu manastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishtisadam darshanestu bhavatanunam.
When they concluded their prayers, they wanted to say to Krishna, this is what we want from you. Not in a material sense, on a spiritual level, what do we expect from Krishna? And that is what that verse is. All other verses are simply glorification of Krishna's greatness and glories. But when it comes to this last verse, you can see, Vani gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam. Then always feeling that desire that we don't forget you. We don't forget you. That is the most important thing. Anything else can happen in this world. But if you forget Krishna, everything is gone. There is nothing after that. That is that realization. So here, everything what they have spoken there, they are saying to Krishna, Vani kunanu kathaye shravana gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam. So here the importance is given that those who are talking about Krishna, they get purified.
Vani gunanu kathane.
If you talk about Krishna, you get purified. And those who hear about Krishna, they also get purified. Both get purified. While speaking, the meditation of Krishna, the words about Krishna, and the mind, the atmosphere, everything, the environment, everything gets purified by talking about Krishna. Everything gets purified by talking about Krishna. Similarly, when you hear about Krishna, they also get purified. They also get purified. Therefore, this hearing process is important. Shravana Yajnam, it is called in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is very important in the Srimad Bhagavatam. All the way through, it is talked about hearing, hearing, hearing. Constantly talking about hearing. So, Prithu Maharaj, if you look into Prithu's story in the fourth canto, Prithu Maharaj also, Krishna appeared in front of Prithu. And Prithu says to him, Krishna asked him, what is the benediction you want? What boon do you want? He says. Prithu says to him, I don't want to get caught in this asking business, he says. I don't want to get caught up in this asking business. Because desiring something is a natural thing in us, isn't it? We all have desires. So according to your desire and our nature, Krishna will give a benediction. Depending on what kind of desire you have, accordingly the benediction also will come from Krishna in the same way. So, suppose, imagine, lot of desires you have, and Krishna is giving you, fulfilling all the desires in you. Every desire, so many desires you have, and Krishna is fulfilling all the desires in us. Then you will know how difficult it becomes. If all the desires gets fulfilled. So actually these desires cause this problem that you won't remember Krishna. The desires by very nature, it will keep building up inside. So therefore, one devotee mentioned to Krishna, I may desire many things, but you should never give it to me anything. The other way he prayed to Krishna. That is my desire, he said. I may ask for something without knowing my ignorance. And many desires will be there in my heart, but never fulfill anything, he said to Krishna. Because if you start fulfilling, I'll be in trouble, serious trouble. He realized that is proper Krishna consciousness. That you realize it, the danger of fulfilling desires in that way, asking Krishna for that. And so he said to Krishna that you must never give me anything what I am asking. I'll keep asking. That's my nature. That's my mind. I can't do anything about it. I'll keep asking everything. But don't give anything, he said. Because you start giving me, then I'll forget you. That should not happen. So from this you can understand that many devotees have recognized that the thing what is causing disturbance inside us and causing a problem for the mind, for the peace inside, is this thing called mind, which desires everything. So desires and the mind together, they cause all the problems. They disturb the mind. The desires builds up and the mind starts moving, movement starts inside. And that state, when there is no desires inside, that is Krishna refers to as Shanti. There is no movement inside for the mind. That is the state of Shanti. And sometimes you may experience this Shanti in life for a few seconds or a few minutes. You may feel some Shanti. That is a false Shanti. That's not proper Shanti. Why? Because for some time it will last, and after some time whole thing will go and something else will come. Some powerful, forceful thought will come, and all that what Shanti you had for a few minutes is gone. In one stroke, completely gone. So, you can see like this. You can look at yourself and see your own mind how it works. Sometimes you feel that you wanted to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and to be in the association of devotees, discuss Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Or you may like to go and see the deity in the temple, participate in Kirtanam, and all that desires will be there. Suddenly everything is done for a few minutes. This thing called mind inside, you will say, let us watch the television a little bit. It will tell you like that. Or let's go and watch the movie, cinema somewhere. Something like that. So this Shanti, that when you were performing sadhana, you felt some Shanti. Or when you were engaged in some spiritual activities, you felt some Shanti. But afterwards, the very mind completely ashanti after that. No Shanti after that. So that is why we say that Shanti, what you have experienced at that point, is false. While engaging in spiritual life, some Shanti you got, some peace you have experienced, that is false. That because Shanti, actually Shanti is the very nature of self-realization. Shanti is the nature of self-realization. So that is the nature of Krishna. Soul's nature is Shanti. Because you will see in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, many places Shanti has been spoken, isn't it? Shanti is spoken in few places. Voktaram yajnadavasam sarvaloka maheshwaram sukhrutam sarvabhudanam yatva mam Shanti mrachade. Krishna says there, isn't it? Shanti is spoken in that chapter. Later on, you'll also see there, tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata sthanam prapsisi shashvatam, talks about there, isn't it? Shanti is spoken about there. So Shanti is the nature of a self-realization or realized soul, or who is realized the truth. He is in Shanti always. Shanti is, there are so many places in the Bhagavatam, if you look into the 11th canto, you will see there, Shanti has been spoken. Not excited person, not excitement, ecstasy and all that. That is not the nature of the soul. Sometimes we say, oh, it was very ecstatic, we say. Kirtan was ecstatic. But as soon as you come out of the Kirtan hall, ecstasy has gone. Then you are depressed about something. So that coming and going is not in the soul. Soul is, there is no coming and going. Coming and going is all in the mind. In the soul, there is always that steady state, never gets disturbed about anything. If you look into the second chapter in the 11th canto,
in the 11th canto, in the second chapter, you will see there, Kavi Maharshi also talks about it, isn't it? Kavi Maharshi says about, he says there, if there are 12 verses, the Navayogi, the 9 yogis, who saw King Nimi, what is Bhagavata Dharmam? That was the first question. What is Bhagavata Dharmam? Bhagavata Dharmam means Krishna consciousness. What is Krishna consciousness? King Nimi, the first question was asked. King Nimi asked the question to this 9 yogis who had come. The first question was, what is Krishna consciousness? Bhagavata Dharmam. Answer to that, the number first Navayogis, first among them, of the 9 yogis who were present there, Kavi was given the answer to that question. So 12 verses he spoke, from verse 33 to verse 43. Kavi Ruvacha, we talked about that. They are famous verses. They are very important verses. Each of those verses, if you memorize, it's good, because they talk about, if somebody asks you what is Krishna consciousness, if you want to give an answer, this is the verse. It's a perfect, precise definition of Krishna consciousness. You'll find in those verses. You'll find in those verses. Precise definition of Krishna consciousness. If somebody asks, Kavi's answer. What is Krishna consciousness? That's the answer. And there, at the end of that, the nature of a person who is in Krishna consciousness, he talks about that. And at the end he says, Ityachudangrim bhajadonuvrityam bhaktaruvirakter bhagavat prabhodaham bhavandi vai bhagavata sarajam tadaparam shanti upaidi sakshat. Ityachudangrim bhajadonuvrityam. If his mind is very attached to Krishna, what happens to him? Bhaktaruvirakter bhagavat prabhodaham. Bhakti will come first, virakti will come, virakti means detachment from this world. Bhakti, pure Krishna consciousness. Detachment, this all happens simultaneously to him. Bhakti, virakti, Bhagavad Prabhodaha. Bhagavad Prabhodaha means completely absorbed in Krishna. Bhaktir viraktir Bhagavad Prabhodaha. Bhagavad Prabhodaha means continuous absorption in Krishna. If you speak in the Jnani's language, continuous absorption in the soul. If you speak the devotee's language, continuous absorption in Krishna. That's all. Practically, realization-wise, they are both same. Jnani is absorbed in the soul, seeing Krishna as the truth, but manifested inside the heart as the soul. In the case of a devotee, Krishna is seeing Krishna as the absolute truth and gets absorbed in Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. So, bhaktir viraktir bhagavat prabhodaha. These three things. And bhavandi vai bhagavadasya rajam tadaparam shandim upaidi sakshal. Such a person, what will happen to him? That he, complete renunciation, vairagyam, virakti and bhagavad prabhodam. Same time, Krishna suruba svaranam it is called. Suruba svaranam means knowing well that the soul inside is Krishna's presence inside in us. That is that suruba svaranam. Suruba Spuranam means that. Suruba means our identity. Spuranam, it comes out. In reality, it comes out to us. Krishna's Suruba Spuranam. That comes through our presence as the soul inside the heart. That will happen. And that devotee, Tataparam, afterwards, Shandim Upaidi Sarshal, he reaches that state of Shandi. So, this is the reason why we say that Shandi, what we are experiencing otherwise sometimes, for a few seconds here and there, we get it, which goes straight away. Sometimes we all experience that, isn't it? We have some shandi for 2 minutes, shandi. And then something happens, some thought comes from somewhere. Something, oh, I have not done this or I have not done that. Immediately got up, where all the shandi has gone, disappeared completely, everything. Or you started some vyavaharam, you went to supermarket or something, you saw so many things on nice special offer. Immediately shandi flies through the window. Oh, I should have bought all these things, such a nice offer. Where is the shandi there? You get suddenly pulled in by the special offer, isn't it? Especially today is a nice day for special offers, isn't it? So nice remembering that. That shandi, how shandi goes in us. This is how our shandi, that is why that shandi is false.
Only if you follow that Kavi Maharshi's that 12 verses in the Bhagavatam, then you will know what Shanti means. What Shanti means. So, here, that is why many devotees, they recognize this. If the mind is moving, flickering and wavering all the time, that's not Shanti. That's not realization. We mistakenly think that, oh, I realized something for 2 minutes. But that's not realization. That's what he's saying here. So, if you want a perfect example of that, look into Srimad Bhagavatam. Because this is what Bhagavatam is teaching us. When the mind, you know, the mind is the one that is causing all the problems, isn't it? Mind has come from the soul. And till mind gets settled down, the Shanti will never happen. In the Bhagavatam, there is a perfect example of this in Sudama and Krishna. Sudama had nothing with him. Practically, if you see Sudama's assets, if you calculate it, it's not more than probably a pound or two. Nothing more than that. So poor he was materially. And when Krishna saw him asking Sudama, by seeing Sudama, you don't have to ask the question, how are you? But still, as a matter of etiquette, Krishna asked, how you are doing? How are you? Sudama's reply, everything in plenty. He says, no shortage of anything. Those verses you should look at into the Bhagavatam. If you look into the 10th canto, 80th chapter, chapter 80, that is Sudama's story. Sudama's reply is the most interesting thing there. Sudama says to Krishna, samrutha, plenty, everything, he says. So, there, Sukadeva Goswami mentions there, he begins that story itself by talking about the very personality Sudama. How does he say? Krishnasyasil sakha kaschil brahmano brahmavittamaha virakta indriyarteshu prashandalma jitindriyaha. This is the personality. Krishna had a friend in his early days. Krishnasyasil sakha kaschil, but brahmano brahmavittama. That was him. He was a brahmana and he was a brahmavittama. Brahmavittama means Brahman realized. He knew what is the truth. That is, that fixed mind, not wavering any time. You couldn't tempt him with your special offer. No special offer will disturb Sudama's mind. That is the difference. Brahmano Brahmavittama. And he says, Viraktaha, so renounced from this world, Indriya Arteshu, no desire for any kind of sense gratification. Never complains about prasadam, about clothes, about the place to sleep, or anything in this world, no complaint about anything. This is Brahma. This is realization. How will you reach that state? How can we reach that state? That is why Sudeva Goswami is paying respects to him. Krishnasya sil sakha kaschil brahmano brahmavittamam virakta indriyarteshu. No indriyam, no senses can disturb him. No sense objects can disturb him. What else? Prashandalpa, always in shanti. Always in shanti. Why? Jidendriyaha, all senses under complete control. Not forcefully, due to realization. Not forcefully controlling. That Sudama Charitam, that story of the Sudama's pastime with Krishna, it has been kept at the very end of Srimad Bhagavatam, on the 10th canto. For one reason only, that this is a devotee in the mood of goodness. Earlier devotees we have seen, in Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look carefully, you will see, devotees are also categorized in the three modes. Whom we see in the beginning, the first devotees like gopis and all, they are the ones in the mood of ignorance. You may surprise to say this. Because the gopis had no scriptural knowledge. Krishna had to bring them up from that state to a higher state, isn't it? After that you will see a number of kings and demons. they are all in the mood of passion. Rajogunam. Initially, devotees in Tamogunam, then the devotees in Rajogunam, and the final chapters on the 10th canto are the devotees in the Satugunam, mood of Satugunam. So all three modes of nature and devotees under three modes, how they react related with Krishna, that is why the 10th canto is under these three categories spoken. These are Acharya's commentaries on that. That's all it is. So,
Krishnasyasi ilsakha kaschil brahmano brahmavitama viraktam indriyarteshu prashandalma jidendriyaham. Prashandalma jidendriya.
So, that is the nature of the devotee. The devotee sees it like that. Devotee sees us like that. And particularly here, Sudeva Goswami glorifies him only for this one reason, that shanti inside. Never, no movement at all inside the mind. And ultimately, after that pastime was over with Sudama, which you can read in the Bhagavadam, at the very end, King asked this question, that Krishna makes some comments there. What is the comment about Sudama? He makes some comments about Sudama, saying that there is a verse at 43, if you look, you will see there, in the same chapter, 80th chapter, verse 43. He says, how Sudama reached that state. He says there,
Ittham vidhanyane gani vasadam guru eshmasu guryor anugrahenaiva Puman Purna Prashandaye.
That shanti state, how Sudama reached that state?
Ittham vidhanyanegani vasadam guru eshmasum.
So, various things what has happened in the Gurukulam when Krishna, Balaram and Sudama were there. And you remember, Krishna says, do you remember all that things, what has happened? And then he makes this statement there.
Guryor anugrahenaiva Puman Purna Prashandaye.
It is by the mercy of that Guru, spiritual master, that Puman, one becomes Purna Prashandaye. He becomes into the, come to the complete state of peace. He completely come to the state of peaceful life.
Guryor Anugrahe Naiva Puman Purna Prashandaye.
Purna Prashandi, that means in spiritual life, even if we try very hard through sadhana and all, we may work very hard, but ultimately perfection comes when that grace from spiritual master and Krishna comes. That is when the perfection happens in a spiritual life. So,
Guryor Anugrahenaiva Puman Purna Prashandaye.
Without Krishna's grace and or spiritual master's, spiritual master means actually Krishna present in the form of the spiritual master. He presents and with his grace through him or directly from Krishna, that shanti comes to a person. So, that is mentioned in the Bhagavadam there. So, you can see here that the shanti is the state of the soul. Shanti is the state of the soul. And only when the mind gets completely quietened down, shanti will come inside. Shanti will come inside a person. So, ultimately, devotee's conclusion is, hand over the mind to Krishna. There is no other way. There is no other way. If you want to know about this mind, what does this thing called mind means? If you look into Viveka Chudamani, Acharya Swamiji gives about mind, what does this mind means? Mind is unusual, nobody knows about this mind. Nobody, even psychologists don't know about this mind. What they know is how to give you some medicine and make you so weak that you can't function anymore. That's how this treatment, most of it is. But psychological treatments are not actually directly treating the mind. You can't treat the mind. Why? Because you are analyzing the mind also with your own mind, which itself is an unusual force that pops up from the soul, from the chit shakti. Vijrambhanam, that's the word they use. Vijrambhanam means it just pops up from there. Where it has come, we don't know. How it has come, we don't know. But it's there. And it creates all the problems inside us, isn't it? Analysis of the mind is very important in the Jnana Margam. They analyze this mind. So, the answer to all this problem with the mind is easiest way to get the mind under control is that to hand over the mind to Krishna. Hand over the mind to Krishna. So, even if you offer loads of flowers to Krishna,
Still, if you till you offer the flower inside the mind to Krishna, there won't be any shanti or peace inside. So, there are famous glorifications in there that famous, one of the famous prayers, Shivananda Lahari talks about this mind very well, how the mind can be brought under control. Two books, Saundarya Lahari and Shivananda Lahari. Saundarya Lahari is a very complex book, very complex book, because there is the Yoga Shastram, Tantra Shastram, everything is included in that Saundarya Lahari. In the Shivananda Lahari, it's purely about surrendering the mind, to Krishna. Ordinary people will find it difficult to understand Saundarya Lahari because of its complexity. Very complex explanations, many things. Even very educated people find it very difficult to understand that, because it's so subtle, talking about the Yoga Shastram of the body and also the Tantra Shastram. Tantram itself is a big subject. Yoga also is another complex subject. So even they find it difficult to understand because it was spoken by Sri Parvati herself. Lord Shiva instructing Sri Parvati about the Yoga Shastram and Tantra Shastram, and that has come in the form of Saundarya Lahari. Saundarya Lahari means intoxication of beauty. Intoxication of beauty. That is Saundarya Lahari. Famous book. Very famous. And in that Saundarya Lahari, if you read, you will see, even if you see the translation and purport, it's too complex to understand anything. The first 50 verses were compiled in Kailasam by Sri Parvati, handed it over, and remaining 50 verses later on Acharya Swamiji combines and completed that. But it is a difficult book. Many people study Saundarya Lahari and recite the verses, but it is impossible to understand what Saundarya Lahari is explaining. But Shivananda Lahari, Lahari means intoxication, the anandam or ecstasy in devotion to Shiva. That is Shivananda Lahari. In that book, about bhakti is spoken in this way, that very simple way, simply offer the mind to Shiva or to Krishna, and people go to forest to pluck the flowers, because offering flowers to the deity is an important part, isn't it, in deity worship. Offering flowers is an important part. So in the past, people used to go to the forest to get the best flowers. They'll go to the forest to get the best flowers, because forest will have some good flowers. Later on, it has become difficult. So what people started doing nowadays, because there's a flower industry, isn't it? So flowers are packaged in Amsterdam or somewhere, tulips and other things. It'll come in bulk. We go to the shop and buy the flowers. Fortunately, because the weather is very cold, the flowers don't go so bad. It still remains. But we don't get fresh flowers still, probably packaged a few days before in plastic wrapper and all that. It comes like that, isn't it? That's what we buy from the shops, the flowers. In India, what they started doing was they started putting flowers in the fridge so that they don't lose their, they still fresh, remain fresh. So none of them are really the best. Either you buy from the shop or you buy from the, take it from the fridge, neither of them are good. So wherever you keep it, it's all flowers. None of them can be used. But there is another flower what we have, that's our mind. If you can offer this flower to Krishna, that is the best among all the flowers. Shivananda Lahari says like that. It says that Gabhire kasare vishadi vijane gora vibine. You go to a very deep forest to collect some nice flowers. Vishale shaile jabramadi kusumartham jadamadi. That Vishale Shaile Jamati, that Brahmadi, that you go to the forest, big mountains and hills, where you are searching for the best flowers. Kusumartham Jatamati, that your intelligence says to you, if we go further, deeper and deeper into the forest, you will get some better flowers. Smaretyayam cheda sarasijam umana adhabhavade sukhena vastadam janaihana jana nikimahom. But if I was a little bit more spiritually conscious, I would have rather been searching for all these flowers, because offering flowers also is a karma at the end. If your mind is not absorbed in that, it is simply a karma then. Is it not? Like sadhana. When you perform sadhana also, if it is done with all the false ego behind it, that fall at the sadhana, the false ego is hiding inside the false ego is hiding inside your sadhana. Inside your false ego is hiding there. Inside your sadhana. Sadhana becomes pure only when Trinaravishuni Jaina Tarorabai Saheshwana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. That is perfect sadhana. Otherwise it's not, that other sadhana is false ego doing the sadhana. False ego doing sadhana. So that's why it's important. Trinaravishuni Jaina Tarorabai Saheshwana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to chant the holy name, it has to be within these, with limited to these three things. It is very much very much restricted or very much under the control of these three conditions. These conditions are important. Trinaravishuni Jaina Tarorabhi Sahishtuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. That is important. So, because it's not there, that our chanting also is very much influenced by the false ego. False ego. Similarly, any karmam you perform, performing the deity worship, offering the flowers, all these activities, externally it may appear spiritual, but if the bhavam, the mood is not there, proper mood, that also becomes a karmam. You may go into deep into the forest and collect flowers and bring it and offer it to the deity. But still, if there is no surrender inside, Krishna consciousness inside, that offering also doesn't mean much. Doesn't mean much. So that's why it says here, so offering, that surrender is more important. We struggle very hard to go through the deep forest to collect these flowers and to collect the lotus flower and things like that. So only those who are very jadamati, very gross in their intelligence, only such people will get absorbed in such activities. That is a gross thing, very gross in the nature. You would not be able to come out from there. So, but surrender is important there. Surrender is important. So that is why he mentions there that Manaste padam je nivasatu vajam stotra banido karoja bhyarchayam shruti ravi katha karna navidho tavad dhyane buddhir naina yugalam murti vibhave paragrandhan kvaira paramashivajani paramataham. Manaste padam je nivasatu vajam stotra banido, that let somehow or the other, asking Krishna that somehow or the other let my mind stay at your lotus feet, at your lotus feet. And when the mind is absorbed in the lotus feet, let the hands perform the offering of flowers to Krishna. And similarly, circumambulating Krishna at the same time. But mind is not ours. That is the problem. Mind is not ours. Why we say mind is not ours? Because he doesn't listen to us. That's why. We all say to my mind, we keep saying. What is this my mind? One who doesn't, never listens to you, and that's your mind. Isn't it? We always say like that. Oh, my mind, I think this, I think that. What do we think? Nothing. He doesn't listen to anything. And what he does is, and therefore, the best thing is to hand him over to Krishna. That is the best thing. It is not mine. That is attitude towards the mind. If you take this attitude towards the mind, it's not mine, it's yours. You keep it with you. It's not mine. If you take that attitude, then he won't give you trouble much. But sometimes you'll forget that and then the whole thing will go back again the other way. Once it so happened that in the West everything is easily commercialized, isn't it? Spiritual life including. Very easily gets commercialized. So in America, one company started advertising meditation seat, $50 or something. They were advertising for meditation. So one man from India, he was there. He thought he wanted to do some meditation. He bought this seat. So it is advertised. And if you sit on that seat, apparently it's designed well for meditation. So he bought that meditation seat. So when he bought the meditation seat, he wrote to his friend in India that I bought this meditation seat You know, yeah. So the friend in India told him, you can buy anything you want, you got a lot of money. He says, you can buy what you want, but meditation won't happen by buying a seat, he said. He wrote back straight away. So after still he went and bought it, the meditation seat. And he started meditating. After meditating, trying to meditate, he started saying that it's not happening. He said, meditation is not working. Meditation is not working. It won't work. How will it work? Because this man inside there, he won't allow you. You can buy the best seat for him, but he will bring new ideas when you get the seat. So that's what it has happened. He says to him that till Krishna takes control of the mind, meditation cannot happen. It's not possible. That is why all this meditation process, what is being advertised by different organizations, it's all bogus. It will not work. It simply won't work. People get cheated. They go and pay for it. And they take to meditation courses, meditation seminars, meditation this, meditation. It won't work. How can it work? Because mind, which is inside us giving all the problem, which you are trying to control through meditation, it will not subdue like that. It will not surrender like that. That's why it doesn't work. It simply won't work. So therefore, what normally happens is that Krishna talked about Dhyana Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna spoke about Dhyana Yogam in Ekadasha Skandam also. If you have studied that both well, you can see how Dhyanam happens. Krishna is saying through Salsangam, develop Krishna consciousness first. And when it comes to a stage, through Krishna consciousness, the mind will surrender at that point. Mind will surrender at that point. That's the only way you can bring the mind under control. Not by Dhyanam, not by meditation. None of them will work in that way. So, there, about the nature of the mind, that is more important. That mind is something which is like a monkey, it is. It's like a monkey. And what is the nature of this monkey? That is this monkey, he is by nature, already he is a monkey. So that means it's very clear what his nature is, isn't it? If you give some alcohol to a monkey and he gets drunk, then what happens? He will do some things which are quite unusual, isn't it? Already his very nature of the monkey is madness. He acts in a very crazy way. And then if he gets intoxicated, it gets still worse. It gets still worse. Added to that, he was bitten by a scorpion. So he's got the pain also from the scorpion bite. So it gets still worse. In addition to that, another ghost has entered into him. So if you make all these things together, another ghost enters into his body, then what will happen? You don't know what he will do. Sada mohadavyam charadi yuvadinam kujagirav nadatya shashakha sotadi jetidi svairam abhidam kapalin bikshome hrayakabhi atyanda chavalam dridam bhaktya badhva shiva bhavadadhinam kuru vibhom. Sada mohadavyam charadi yuvadinam kujagirav. That sada mohadavyam, the desires inside our heart is like this monkey's life. Continuously different desires and plan making going on inside. This is all what we do in this world, isn't it? What else do we do? Whole day making plans for one thing or the other. How to become happy, how to make the family happy, how to live happy forever, how to enjoy life. This way, continuous planning going on all the time. Different desires inside. And that this activity is called the Sada Mohadavyam Charadi Yuvadinam Kuja Vibho Kuja Girav. Always looking for opportunities to enjoy. And if you try to control him, he will wander around everywhere. He will wander around everywhere. So in the prayers in Shivananda Lahari, it says, Nadatya Shashaga Sodadi Jedidi Swairam Abhidaha. That doesn't give you any peace at any time. Therefore, Lord Shiva has a pastime that he wanders around begging for food, bhiksha, like a sannyasi. He wanders around. And then Kapali in his skull as the pot he takes. And he wanders around. So at that time, Ajari Swami says to him, when you go for begging, if you have a monkey with you, you can get more bhiksha from people. Because you can play with the monkey and people and children will get very excited about it. And the mothers from the house, they will come and give you some food. So I'll give you that best monkey I've got with me. I'll hand him over to you. You take care of him. Charkapalin bhikshome hridayam. This, nobody else can play better than this monkey inside. My monkey can play much better than any other monkey in this world. Kapalin bhikshome hridayam kapi atyanda chapalam. Always very disturbed. Dridam bhaktya badhva. And if I hand him over to you, please tie him down with bhakti. Give me devotion. So that through bhakti, that bhakti is the rein through which to control the mind. There is no other way. Badhva shiva bhavadadinam kuru vibho. And you keep control of this mind, the rein, let that be in your hand. Let that the rein be in your hand. If you keep the rein in your hand, and you control this monkey which is within me, through the rein of bhakti, he says to Shiva that if you do that, this monkey will behave properly. Otherwise this monkey will never listen to anything. So difficult it is controlling this mind. That is why in all the Shastram, you will see Krishna talks about the 10th canto itself is called what? Mano Nirodham. Mano Nirodham means how to bring the mind under control. Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Udaya Manandaram Ishanukatha Nirodho Mukti Ashraya. That Nirodham means how to bring it under control. How to bring the mind under control. That is the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mentions in the Bhagavatam itself. It's spoken like that. So, if Krishna keeps the control of this mind, in other words, if you hand it over to Krishna, then this monkey will stay quiet. That is what bhakti means. Bhakti is for that necessary. And the shanti will be there. From that onwards, and mind will surrender and bhakti will develop. So, no devotee ever has spoken in this world that through sadhana they have got Krishna. Not one devotee has said so far. It is through sadhana that they have got Krishna. Any devotee you can ask, they will tell you. All the great personalities, they will always vouch for this. It is not through their sadhana they have got Krishna. So, anything, whatever it may be, whatever sadhana this Krishna consciousness or bhakti is a very unusual topic, that is, a very strange topic. If you say to someone that I am a devotee, immediately you won't become a devotee. She will leave you. Bhakti Devi will leave you at that point, if you claim that you are a devotee. Because she is very shy. She is very shy. But because if you say to him, somebody says to you that I am a devotee, and she will run away from him. Wherever you admit that you are not a devotee, she will take care of you. If you admit that you are not a devotee, she will take care of you. That is why all devotees' songs, if you read, any devotee songs, if you read, you will see, they are all admitting, I have no qualification, I am nothing. By saying that, what they are doing actually is, they are admitting that they have that false ego. They are trying to get rid of that false ego from inside by openly admitting to the world that they are nothing. They are nothing. And to such personality, when they sing, Bhakti Devi goes to them. Many devotees have spoken. In Tiruvachakam it says, Manikyavachakam says about that, all these years, I have cheated others, saying that I am a devotee. I have cheated others. And I kept carrying my false ego inside. And one day, Vedas, who is searching the absolute truth, he found out me, caught me, and he got inside me. I had no qualification, he is saying. Many people are performing austerities and penances. None of them have got that experience,
But why did I get it? I don't know. He says, I cannot give you the answer. How did it happen? I don't know. Only thing I can say is, he says here like that it is always that when the devotee admits that I have no qualification, I have no qualification, I don't deserve it. When the devotee says like that, at that time Krishna's grace comes. Krishna's grace comes. This is the reason why in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Bhagavatam is a Bhagavatam talks about the holy name, isn't it? It's a Puranam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam Amaram Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Idam Bhagavatam Namam Puranam Brahma Samhitam. This Bhagavatam is a holy name. It glorifies the holy name. Bhagavatam Namam Puranam Brahma Samhitam. So that Srimad Bhagavatam even ultimately says to us that till there is surrender, that acceptance that Krishna is the, unless surrender to Krishna, self-realization will not happen. So Manikyavajagar says here, I have no qualifications and I was living a life, not even a proper spiritual life. In spite of that, Krishna has shown me mercy. And you cannot give any logic to that. Logic is not possible. He says here, many years I was wandering around telling lies to people because I kept thinking I am a devotee. I was thinking I am a devotee and I kept telling others that I am a devotee. That was a lie. I was not a devotee, he says. That is how devotees will say. Devotees' realizations are like that. Because when self-realization happens, they understand that the only thing that was stopping them from getting realized was the false ego inside. So when the false ego leaves, they realize it at that point that I was actually telling a lie to this world that I am a devotee. All these years, we keep declaring we are devotee, we are devotee, we are devotee. But one day, if by Krishna's kripa or Krishna's grace or mercy, if we realize something, at that time we understand that the only thing that was stopping us from becoming a devotee was that false ego inside. Not becoming a devotee, was the false ego inside. In other words, when the false ego leaves us, then we become a devotee. Till that time we are not devotee. It's all false. Otherwise, it's all falsity to tell others that I am devotee, I am devotee, I am devotee. But with all the false ego inside, I am not a devotee. This is how all the great devotees have presented themselves. Because they are saying to us, it is not through sadhana that we became devotee. They don't say. Why the sadhana comes then? Sadhana is necessary because by performing sadhana on a daily basis, every day, performing sadhana a certain amount of time, eventually you will realize all my life I have performed sadhana, but I couldn't get it. And that time, that false ego inside will start melting. And you will start realizing that the false ego is the only thing that is blocking the realization of the truth. Realization of the truth. So before, that is why Manikyavajagar mentions this in detail in Tiruvajagam. He says that the devotee sometimes won't accept it easily. If you say all these things to anybody, it's difficult for them to accept. Therefore, sometimes some strong medicine is necessary. That's when Krishna starts giving distress in life. That's when Krishna starts giving distress in life. After getting a lot of distress, sometimes our ego will melt. Our ego will melt. Otherwise, it won't happen. All these talk, oh, I've studied all these big shastram, I've written so many books, I preached in all these big countries, I've made so many devotees, I've opened so many temples. That's all fine. That's all okay. But that you have done, that your false ego has to satisfy all your ego also, you have to do all that. But here, the main point is, to becoming proper devotee is, Krishna is saying, as well as the prayers from these great devotees, you can see, only and if only when that false ego inside gets separated from us, that is when we are devotee. Otherwise, there is no devotee. So, this false ego inside, it's like a wound inside, and Krishna keeps on treating that wound, giving distress. And when he gives that operation inside, it will be very painful also. It will be, sometimes you will even doubt about Krishna. I'm doing all this devotional service and all sadhana, everything. Why am I getting so much distress in life? This question will come at some point. So, the way he puts it is that outside you are giving this poison, sense gratification. And then you are giving me the distress at the end. After the sense gratification, a lot of distress is coming. When the distress is coming, I am crying. When the distress is coming, I am crying. But inside, when I am in distress, inside me, sitting there, you start giving me bhakti at that time. Devotion develops in the heart when there is a lot of distress outside. Because only then the false ego will surrender. There is no other way this false ego will surrender. So, from outside, distress is coming. And inside, bhakti is building up in a natural way. That's a natural way of bhakti develops inside the heart. So, and inside Krishna is giving the sweet, outside it is very bitter. That's the way it works. Outside it is very bitter, but inside it is very sweet. When there is a lot of bitter experiences in life, you can see inside there is a sweetness developing. That if you very subtle level, if you look at inside, you will see it yourself. Everybody's, all devotees' experience is that. That's what I am saying. All our big, big things what we do in this world, they are not so important. Realization inside this, that attention from the world goes away and attention with Krishna makes serious. That is spiritual life. Most of the people are under the impression that I have done so many big projects in this world and I will be invited to Golokam. I will get the invitation any time from Krishna. All these kind of illusions in our head, isn't it? But spiritual life is not that complicated. Spiritual life is, that's a misunderstanding actually. That's because you have such strong vasana inside, you have to do all that. Otherwise you can't be peaceful. So you keep doing that. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. But because in Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you can see, it is a direct relationship between devotee and Krishna. Krishna is saying to us, this is what you are, and this is your problem. Get rid of this problem, this is the process. Do that and get out of it. That's all it is, Bhagavad Gita is all about. Bhagavad Gita is not saying to us that you have to change the whole world and all the planetary systems. You have to go and preach in all over the world and change the world and bring it under your control and be the guru and acharya of the whole place. Nowhere it's mentioned anywhere like that. Bhagavad Gita is very simple, straightforward. Krishna, right from the word, when Arjuna surrenders to Krishna, right up to the very end, when Krishna finishes Bhagavad Gita, the only talk about is about Arjuna's soul. How that soul can escape from this bondage, from this entanglement here. So that is why it is mentioned here that sometimes you'll think like this, I have been going to temple every day, I have been chanting 16 rounds every day, I have done so much devotional service, and still why I am suffering like this, so much problems are coming in life. Krishna's plan is always like that, Krishna's process is like that. If you want to look, you can see this. Who confirms that? Vritrasura says this very nicely in the Bhagavadam. In the Bhagavadam, if you look, in the 6th canto, in the 11th chapter, if you look there, you will see how Vritrasura puts it very nicely. 6th canto in the 11th chapter. He says to him that, if you look into the verse 23, you can't get a better explanation than this. In the Bhagavatam. Nowhere else you will find the way Vritrasura speaks about it. Vritrasura says to him, Trivargigayasa vighadam asmal padhir vidate purushasya shakra tatonumeyo bhagavad prasado yo durlabho akinchana gocharonyei. Trivargigayasa vighadam asmal. That is the process. Trivargiyam. Trivargiyam means dharmam, artham, kamam. Krishna will put an obstacle in everything. You won't have dharmam, you won't have artham, you won't have kamam either in life. When that happens, what will happen? We will see what's the point in living in this world, isn't it? Krishna will bring us to that state to realize. Trivargigayasa vikadam, that is what it is called.
Everything Krishna blocks. You won't get any religious life. Religious life means dharmam. Dharmam. Dharma means the your dharmam, whatever you are performing in this world, according to the Varnashrama dharmam. There will be problem there. Then, Trivargyam. Then, artham. There will be no money. Every day you will be struggling for money, something or the other. That is also Krishna's mercy. Then, dharmam, artham. Then, kamam. If you have some desire, so I have no happiness in this life, Krishna will make it worse. He will say, don't enjoy anything. You won't get anything. Everywhere failure, in other words. In spiritual life, we must always sit in the back bench. Never go into the front bench. That is the principle. In satsangam, you should sit in the front bench and listen. In the spiritual life, you should sit in the back bench. That is perfection in spiritual life. Whereas if you start right in the front, I want to be this, I want to be that in everything, that's not very good. Because what happens is, Maya will take us in another direction at that time. Accepting everything what Krishna gives as it is and tolerating it, that is spiritual life. That is what Vritrasana says here. Traivargigaya savikadamasmal. That he will make you realize it's all a waste of time at the end. You will see sometimes devotees saying like that. At the end of the day, it's all a waste of time, they say. If you ask a devotee, why don't you do some work? He says, what's the point? It's all a waste of time, he will say. If you come to the conclusion at the end, it's all a waste of time. It is true, it's all a waste of time at the end. What's the point that you have become somebody big in this world? What good is it at the end? Everything is taken away. The body is gone one day and all your good name is gone. How many big people are remembered in the world today? It may last for 5 years, 10 years. Sometimes after 50 years, completely forgotten. Everything is forgotten. So the so-called name and fame, so-called wealth, so-called followers in this world, they are all ultimately useless. That is the point. Trivargigaya sa vikadam asmal patirvidate purushasya shakraham. And by doing like that, what Krishna does is, he'll make our life so difficult, then you'll start thinking it's pointless doing anything. That means that you won't become any more, you won't put any endeavor in that direction. To live that, to acquire wealth, to acquire followers, to acquire fame, all these things will leave you. It will leave you on its own. Instead of you leaving that, they will leave you. Either way it should happen, that's all it is, isn't it? You see, sometimes you can see certain things you desire in life. You're finding it difficult to resist also. And sometimes you think, if they had left me, it would have been nice. Or it would have much better that I don't come, these desires don't develop inside. How nice it would be. So a situation will happen in life. Krishna will create a situation in such a way that all such desires will leave you and go. And then you have escaped from that. So, otherwise, ultimately, they are all useless. That is what Krishna is, Vritrasura is saying here. Trivargigaya samikhadam asmal patirvedate purushasya shakraham tato anumeyom and bhagaval prasadam yodurlabho akinchana gocharanyayim. That it is this one thing what happens at that time, that is where Krishna's kripa or grace is coming. You can take it like that. I know it is very difficult to accept that principle, isn't it? Because our mind is so absorbed in the various things in this world. Therefore, pure devotees, great and pure devotees, they are like this. They are like this. They have no desires and desires have left them. And what happens at them at that time is Krishna's kripa or grace starts flowing very freely through them to this world when they have reached that state. When they have reached that state. So, Trivargigaya savikhadam asmal padurvidate purushasya shakraham tatonumeyo bhagavat prasado yo durlabho akinchana gocharanyayim. So, in that verse, Vritrasura has given this definition of bhakti. What is bhakti means? What is bhakti means? We have always this nature, tendency in us to understand bhakti in a different way. We think certain many other things in a different way. So, instead of complaining about Krishna when problem comes in life, and as it should be taken as Bhagavad Prasadaha,
It is Krishna's prasadam. It should be taken. So, because the end of that distress is mercy. Krishna's mercy comes at that point. Sometimes this curse or sometimes even a curse will turn out to be a blessing. A curse will turn out to be a blessing. That we will also see later in the Vritrasura story. We'll meet after 10 or 15 minutes. So, Vritrasura mentions,
Tathonumeyo Bhagaval Prasida Yodurlabho Akinchana Gojaranyay.
Then, when dharmam, there is a block. When you are trying to earn money, there is a problem. And when you want to enjoy fulfilling your desires, also there is a problem. When all these things are happening, Trivargi Gayasa Vikadam Asmad, he says. Trivargigam means dharmam, artham and kamam. Trivargi Gayasa Vikadam. Vikadam means it creates blocks. It stops everything. Vikadam Asmad. And when that happens, it has to be understood that Krishna's mercy is going to come later. Krishna's mercy is going to come. That is the way it has to be understood. Because end of all this distress is Krishna's kripa, Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. Sometimes blessing in this world, or sometimes a curse in this world, could be a blessing later. You can see that in the Bhagavadam, you can see that also, how when somebody gets cursed, it turns out to be a blessing. Because we are always thinking, as I said before many times, that everything is going on very well in life, plenty of money, happy family life, happy social life, good job, and or good income, and everything is fantastic. And you are saying to everyone, it's Krishna's mercy. By Krishna's mercy, everything is going very well. But actually, it is not Krishna's mercy. It is not Krishna's mercy. By Krishna's mercy, everything is going wrong. That means we are getting more attracted to Maya. That is not Krishna's mercy, getting attracted to Maya. Not that you have to create disturbances in life forcefully, but Krishna's way of doing things is like this, that Tathayanumeyo Bhagaval Prasidaha Yo Durlabo Akinchana Gocharanye. Krishna's idea, Krishna's desire is that the false ego must go from inside. Somehow or the other, the false ego must get destroyed inside. So whatever that is necessary for that, Krishna will do. Krishna will create the situation. If one is very proud of wealth, Krishna will take away all the wealth. If one is very proud of his good name in this world, popularity and fame, Krishna will create a situation that he will become a target of infame, bad fame, in other words. Or, or if Krishna is, or if somebody is after sense gratification, Krishna will make sure he'll take away his health so he can't gratify senses anymore. In this way, various ways, Krishna will do what is necessary. And if that is happening, that is Krishna's mercy, its grace, because otherwise we will not turn our attention towards Krishna. This is the principle. So that's why it says here that Vritrasura was there, and Parvati, Sri Parvati cursed Vritra, isn't it? Chitrakedu was cursed and he became Vritrasura. And he became Vritrasura, and Vritra says to him, Who is there to give any blessing here and who is there denoted to curse here? He says, what in this Maya, what does it mean at the end? All this cursing and blessing, does it mean anything? He is asking this to Sri Parvati. When Sri Parvati cursed him to become a demon, Asura, Vritrasura's reply was very famous, isn't it? He says to her, in this Maya, Maya means three modes of material nature. In this Maya, in the three modes of material nature, what does curse mean? And what does blessing mean? It means nothing. It means nothing. Maya is working in its own way and you are thinking this is good and this is bad. Everything is bad here. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, so sometimes it can also happen due to Maya. Somebody has cursed you, it may turn out to be a blessing. And similarly here, somebody has blessed you, it may turn out to be a curse as well. The opposite way. All these things can happen due to the presence of Maya. Nothing is absolute here. In other words, Maya has a control of everything. If you look at the verse in the 17th chapter, how he puts it, that is very important. How Vritrasura mentions that, about that in the Bhagavatam, that's very important. Why? The words he has used is so precise. He says there that if you look at the 17th chapter, verse 20, he says, guna pravahame tasmin kashapaha ko anugraha. Guna pravaha means three modes of material nature is flowing. That is what world is, isn't it? Everywhere what you are experiencing is the three modes of material nature. Under the three modes of material nature, we are doing so many things in this world. Somebody is thinking I am doing a big thing. Somebody is thinking I am sorting out this world. Somebody is thinking I have to survive in this world. All this is guna pravaham. According to the gunam, according to three modes of material nature, we are acting in this world one way or the other. So that's what he is saying here. Guna pravaham edasmin. It is guna pravaham. Three modes of material nature is flowing very freely in this world. All persons, all living entities in this world, all objects in this world, they are all under the three modes of material nature. That's why Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam in Bhagavad Gita, if you study that chapter, you will understand this, the power of gunam, the modes of nature, the power of the three modes of nature. So, gunapravaham etasmin kashapaha ko anugraha. Here, where is the curse, he is saying? Who can curse anybody here? Or who can give any blessing here either? Because there is no curse here, there is no blessing here, because gunapravaham is going on. Gunam is flowing here. Sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam. And then he says here, ka sargaha, ka sargo naragaha, kova kim sukham dukham evaha. And if you think that what is heaven here and what is hellish planet here, where is the heaven and hell here, he says, where is the heaven and hell here? Kim sukham dukham evaha. Where is the happiness? Where is distress here? None of them are real, actually. They are nothing but the influence of the modes of material nature. That's all it is. So, you can see from a platform of a devotee, Vritrasura is saying to Sri Parvati, all this cursing, blessing and all that has no meaning. Gunapravaham, everything is gunapravaham. Gunapravaham edasmin kashava ko anugraham kasargo naraga kova kim sukham dukham evavam. Gunapravaham edasmin kashava ko anugraham kasargo naraga kova kim sukham dukham evavam. And prior to that he says, Chitrakedu is saying, then Chitrakedu's beginning is conversation with Sri Parvati. Ambiya is her name. Says to him, Pratigrihnami deshabam atmanonjalinambige Dever marthyayal proktam purvadishtam hi tasyatal. Pratigrihnadim, that this curse what you are giving to me, I am accepting with folded hands happily. He says, that means to tell Chitrakedu that you become a demon. That was the curse, isn't it? So Chitrakedu says to him, Pratigrihnami deshabam, this curse you have given to me, I accept it with folded hands, happily. Shabam Atmano Anjalina Ambige. Ambige, I accept this with folded hands. Chitrakedu says, Vedever Martyayel Proktam. Dever Martyayel Proktam. Eder Purvadishtam Hi Tasyatal. Anything you get a curse here or you get a blessing here, it's all dependence on the it is completely related with your purva karma or the karma what you have performed in your previous life. Accordingly, you get the results here in this world. It's all dependent on your activities in the past. Accordingly, the demigods offer you the results according to your effort before. So when demigods give us some curse or blessings or anything, any happiness in this world, at that time, it's all you have to be understood that it's coming from the previous activities. That's all. You don't have to feel either happy about it or distressed about that. Samsara chakramedasmin jandu ajnana mohidaha brahmyan sukham cha dukham cha bhunkte sarvatra sarvada. Samsara chakramedasmin jandu ajnana mohidaha. That samsara chakram means the wheel of material life, like the giant wheel, as they refer to, isn't it? You know why it is called samsaram? Is material existence is compared to this samsara chakram, the wheel of samsaram it is called. Why is it compared like that? It is very much similar to the giant wheel in the Alton Towers or somewhere, wherever you find these giant wheels. You pay for it and you get inside that. Isn't it? In that giant wheel. And then it keeps rotating. Then you want to come out from there. You had enough of it. But you can't come out because you have paid for it. The man who is running that machine, he says, I can't stop it now. You wait till it stops. So similarly, we have performed such karmam. We have been thrown into this wheel of samsaram. And you can't get out of it till that karmam is over. Till that karmam is finished. So similarly, that's what he's saying here. Samsara chakram edasmin jandu ajnana mohidaha. There is ajnanam inside, so much ignorance inside us. And brahmyan sukham cha dukham cha bhunkte sarvatra sarvadaha. That he is going through this samsaram and sometimes he is happy and sometimes he is in distress. This is samsaram means. One day you are happy, one day you are in distress. Morning you are happy, afternoon you are in distress. So constantly this cycling like this, recycling through this samsara material existence, bhunkte sarvatra sarvada, it's there everywhere in the world, all over. Everybody is going through the same thing. That is what he is saying here. Naivatmana paraschabi kartasyal sukadukkayoho kartaram manyade prajna atmanam param evacha. That neither the soul, again, as soon as we can see, as soon as an opportunity comes, Sukadeva Goswami puts the point across there very strongly. He says there, Alma is not the doer. That's the first thing to understand. Sukham, Dukham, and who creates that? It is not Alma who creates that. But because the ignorance inside, Ajna, he thinks that, because of the ignorance inside, he thinks that the soul has created the happiness and distress. We also say the same thing. That when we experience distress, we say we must have done some sinful activities in the past. That's why I'm experiencing now. Actually, that is where proper discrimination is necessary. Soul has not done any sinful activity. Soul is pure. Asangoyam, 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 puna puna, sachidananda rupoham. By very nature itself, asangoyam, he has no connection with anything. But how did this happen then? Who did that? The false ego has done that. It's a false ego who has done the sinful activities. False ego has conducted all the karma. And it is a false ego who is suffering from the karma. The reaction also is coming from the false ego. Somebody offends you, insults you. Who feels it? Soul doesn't feel it. It's your false ego who gets hurt. Somebody glorifies you. The soul doesn't feel any glorification. The false ego feels the glorification. So all our experiences, whether happiness or distress or whatever that we are experiencing in this world, is all because of that false ego inside. not due to the soul. Kalpa and intelligence says, that's what he is saying here, that naivalpa the paraschabi, Sude Goswami says there, kartasyal sukadukhayoho, kartaram manyade prajna, alpanam paramevacham. Then alpa has no doership, no ownership in anything. He doesn't do anything, he doesn't enjoy anything. Alpa doesn't do anything, doesn't enjoy anything. But ignorant person, he thinks that the self is the doer. The soul is the doer, and he considers that the soul is the enjoyer as well. Soul is the enjoyer as well. So that is that important thing what Sudeva Goswami wanted to point out there. So, so Krishna moved around. You can see here that many times when Krishna gives the distress, eventually it will all turn out to be a blessing. It will turn out to be a blessing. All the great devotees, they have come through distress in this world. Everybody, if you take anyone, all the great devotees, they had to walk through distress in this world. And that too, great, great distress they had to go through. So actually what the distress does says, just like you put the iron into the fire, and when the iron gets red hot, you can it purifies the metal, isn't it? It purifies the metal, like gold, when it puts in, you get it purified. It purifies the metal. In the same way, Krishna purifies us through distress. Distress is that process where Krishna manages to purify us and remove all the impurities from inside. So, we have seen this Damodar Leela pastimes. After that, Krishna pulled this tree, pulled this mortar through both of these trees and they fell. And in place of that, those two trees, the sons of Kuvera, Nalakuvera and Manigriva stood up. And what was the reason for their fall down? Main reason was that they had a lot of money. That was the main reason for that. Everybody in this world wants Kuvera, isn't it? Nobody wants Sudama. Everybody wants Kuvera. Kuvera is a we all worship. In fact, if you go to some of these big, big temples, there's a deity of Kuvera there as well. So many devadas are installed, and you will see Kuvera also installed there. And some devotees will go and worship Kuvera very seriously. Who wants money? Who wants money? Like that. So when they renovate temples also, you will see, they'll make sure that the Kubera's deity is renovated very well, because then you get a lot of people to come to the temple also. So, Kubera Lingam, that's because people want him. They are not interested in hearing about Sudama, because Sudama had nothing with him. Who wants to hear about a poor man's life in this world? We want to hear about the celebrities and the rich people. Their life in this world, isn't it? Where they went on holiday, how much money they spend on their cruise, and how much they spend on their marriage parties. People like, newspapers only report that. Do they not? Newspapers only report all that. The wealthy people, their activities in this world. Poor people's life, nobody reports anything about it, because that's the way the world is. So, same thing. So, first thing was that people's attachment to that wealth in that way. Not attachment to the deity Krishna, but attachment to the wealth. So, here what has happened was Nalakuvera and Manigriva were born as the children of a very wealthy person. And not only that, their high birth, born from a very higher family, isn't it? These two things, when they come together, wealth and birth, when they come together, naturally false ego will also come. Naturally, false ego will also come. There is no question about that. Someone who has got a very higher birth and one who has got a lot of wealth, most probably there will be a lot of false ego as well in them. Who mentions this? Kunti Devi says this. If you look into Kunti Devi's prayers in the first canto, you will see there. Janmaishwedya Shudeshrebhir Edamanamadapuman. There is a verse there, isn't it? Janmaishwedya Shudeshrebhir Edamanamadapuman. And yeah. Verse 26. Janmam. Janmam means high birth. Birth in a very high aristocratic family. And Aishwaryam, plenty of opulences in world, and education, high birth, and wealth, and Naivahat Abhidadam Vai. Because of that, ego builds very strongly inside. And such people cannot see Krishna. It's not possible for them. Why? Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. Krishna is only visible to someone who is akinchana. Akinchana means who is not in possession of any of these things. One who is free from all these things. Tvam akinchana gocharam. It does not mean that rich people cannot serve Krishna. That's not what it means. In the Bhagavatam, you have all the examples. You have the example of Sudama and you have also the example of Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj was the emperor of the planet, but still he had Krishna consciousness in him. So, it is the consciousness that important, that a devotee, whether he is wealthy or poor, if you are like Ambarish Maharaj or many others like that, many, many great kings who have become Krishna conscious in that way, they had no Janma Aishwarya Shudhi Shribi Edama Anamada Puman Akinchana Gocharam. Akinchana Naivahart Abhidadam Vai Tyam Akinchana Gocharam. Kunti Devi said this to Krishna. Kunti Devi says to Krishna, I born in a high family, Kunti Devi, isn't it? By birth she is from a very higher family. And father was very wealthy. Kunti Devi's father was very wealthy. Everything is very well, opulence wise. Or otherwise sometimes you can say beautiful personality. And if I have any of this pride in me, then it is not possible to get you. Kunti Devi is certifying that. Because she was born in a high family, she had wealth, she had beauty, everything, all the great qualifications. So, Kunti Devi says here, if there is pride in any of these things, he says to Krishna, it's not possible to get you. When will that happen? When will that go away? Akinchana. Akinchana means, not only the wealth inside, when one does not have any pride either inside or outside, then he can get him. Then he can get Krishna. When there is no pride in anything, either inside or outside, then he can get Krishna. Tvam akinchana gocharam. So, Nalakubera and Manigriva has had the pride due to wealth. And they were children of Kuvera, and they also had the opportunity to enjoy anything in this world because they had enough wealth. They had enough wealth. So such people, they have, when they are intoxicated with alcohol, and they were also associates of Lord Shiva, and they insulted Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi has no nobody can insult him or nobody can glorify him. He does not take any notice of all that. Narada has only one business, to turn everybody's attention towards Krishna. So that is why Daksha has cursed Narada Maharshi, isn't it? You know the story. Daksha cursed him. Because Sri Narada Maharshi started making everybody a sannyasi. Shabalashwa and Haryashwa. In the Bhagavatam you will see, Daksha's children, Daksha instructed them to enter into householder life. Sri Narada Maharshi went and spoke to them and sent them to the forest to perform penances and made them sannyasis and sent them away. It happened twice, both Haryashwa and Shabalashwa. That time, they got upset. Daksha got upset with him because Daksha is a householder. He likes to leave that great name of the family to continue. So all this pride in Daksha. Daksha says to him that if you keep on doing this, you will never find a place where you will be able to stay permanently. You will be wandering around the rest of your life. He said, so Sri Narada Maharshi says to Daksha, thank you very much. He walks out from there. That is Narada Maharshi. He didn't say anything to him, that you have cursed me that I become like that. Alright, I'll continue to be like then. So from that day onwards, it's difficult for him to stay in one place. So he realized it, if you wander around, it's nice. Then nobody will give you any problem. You can just wander around wherever you like. By doing that, Narada Maharshi was bringing the point that you won't develop any attachment anywhere. You will develop any attachment anywhere. So, when Narada Maharshi came that way, they insulted him. Kulagavera and Manigriva insulted them. So Narada Maharshi decided, let me curse them. Curse them means for what? These people have got this problem. The problem is that they have the wealth, and they have the pride in that wealth. And that is why, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see that words, what Sri Narada Maharshi says there, is that in the 10th chapter, if you look there, you will see that asadaha shrimathandasya daridryam paramanjanam almobamyena bhudhani daridra paramikshade. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying there, asataha. Asataha means contact with asata. Asataha shrimathandasya. Shrimathandasya means due to opulence, the arrogance due to opulence. Daridryam paramanjanam. And power, for them, the medicine is what? Poverty. Those who are wealthy and those who are feeling their pride from wealth, for them, the medicine is poverty. Alma ubamyena bhudani daridra paramikshadeyim. When you are poor, what will happen? You will think about other living entities on an equal level. At least you will think that he is also suffering. So, asadaha shrimathandasya daridryam paramanjanam almaubamyena bhudani daridra paramikshadeyim. Daridra or poor person, he sees other living entities as good as himself. Otherwise, wealth creates this problem in everybody. That is what is mentioned here. Sri Narada Maharshi is saying that here. So, when somebody is very rich and when there is a lot of pride inside because of the wealth, if a little bit of poverty comes, his eyes will open a little bit. It will open a little bit. Sometimes you can see there is a lot of money in the bank, lot of money in the stock market, and suddenly the whole stock market goes. Then what will happen? We become a little bit conscious that all this is not permanent, and you also come to the ground then. Otherwise you live in the clouds, isn't it? Oh, there is so much in the bank, what do I care for anybody? But that's the way the false ego operates. You can't say anything about it. The false ego is like that. When there is a lot of money, assets, property, wealth, connections, contacts, all these things, makes us feel proud that I've got all these things, what should I worry about? Then you challenge everyone after that. So, but here, he says here, for them, the remedy is that they have to experience a little bit of distress through poverty. If that happens, they will understand what is the difficulty of others in this world. And also will start seeing how ordinary people are living in this world. And when they open their eyes, it will help them. So, Narada Maharshi decided like that, let me give them some poverty. But Krishna, actually Narada Maharshi didn't give them poverty. What he did was, he said, you go to Gokulam and stand there like two trees there for some time. You stand there like two trees and don't move anywhere. Just stand there. And some people cannot move, cannot sit idly, isn't it? They have to keep moving all the time. So, in order to keep them, Nagavera and Manigriva were like that. They had to move, enjoying all the time. So, to stop that enjoyment, he said to them, you stand like two trees there now. So, that chances of enjoying will go from here, from you. So, and he sent them to Gokulam, and he stood there as a witness to Krishna's childhood pastimes. That was their good fortune. So, here you can see, what Narada has done to Nalakuvera and Manigriva, is it a curse or is it a blessing? You can call it as a curse, but actually it turned out to be a blessing. Well, it turned out to be a blessing. And they came and stood there and they saw Krishna tied to the mortar. And Krishna pulled the mortar, and as soon as he got there, he pulled a little bit more strongly. Little bit more strongly. You will see that in the next 2-3 verses. 10th chapter, 29, 30 and 31. Krishna Krishna Mahayogi Tvamadya Purushapara Vyakta Vyaktamidam Vishwam Rubam De Brahmana Vidum Tvameva Sarvabhudanam Deha Swalpendriyeshwara Tvameva Kalo Bhagavan Vishnu Avyayam Ishwaraha Tvam Mahan Prakriti Sushmam Rajas Sattva Tamomayi Tameva Purusho Adhyaksha Sarva Kshetra Vikaravit. Those three verses where our Nalakuvera and Manigriva is saying to Krishna, Krishna Krishna Mahayogi, O Mahayogi, addressing Krishna, that Tvam Adhyam Purushaparaham, you are the first person, Adhyam, and you are the supreme person. Vyaktam Avyaktamidam Vishwam Rubam Te Brahmana Vidum. That this world, Vyaktam and Avyaktam, manifested world and the unmanifested world, that is all Vishwam Rubam Te, it is your form. All this manifested world and unmanifested world is nothing but your form. Like that, realized souls know about it. They know that it is your form. Krishna Krishna Mahayogi Tvam Adhya Purushapara Vyaktal Avyaktamidam Vishwam Rubam De Brahmana Vidu. Then Tvameka Sarvabhudanam Deha Swalpendriyeshwara Tvameva Kalo Bhagavan Vishnu Avyayam Ishwaraham. That Tvameka Sarvabhudanam, that you are the person who is present inside everyone. And Tvameka Sarvabhudanam Deha Swalpendriyeshwaram, that you are the controller of their body, the living force inside, their false ego and their senses. You are the controller of that. Tvameva Kalo Bhagavan Vishnu, you are Vishnu himself. And therefore, Avyaya Ishwaraha, therefore you are the time also. Therefore, time personified also, it's you. And that is that prayer is about. Tvam Mahan Prakriti Sushma Rajas Sattva Tamo Mayi. That all these three modes of material nature and their different combinations, it is all very difficult to understand. That's also you. And Tvam Eva Purusho Adhyaksham. And before the living entities were born, you were present there. And Adhyaksha Sarva Kshetra Vikaravan. And who can understand you are? And Paramahatattvam Paramapurusha Sarva Cause of all causes, it's you. Rajasa Sattugunam Tamogunam. And that three modes of material nature, which are the subtle aspect of Prakriti. Material nature has got this subtle aspect, which is called the three modes of material nature, isn't it? Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. That's you. And Prakriti, Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam is you. Paramapurusha, Supreme Person and the cause of all causes. Guhyamanestamagrahyo vikare prakriteir gunehi konyuharhati vijnyadum praksiddham gunasamvridaham. Then very difficult to understand the three modes of material nature and their transformation. And because it is like that, it is very difficult to know you. And because before the living entities were born, you were present in there. Ko niharka divityadam. Then one who is covered by this material body and the material mind and senses, how he can ever understand you? That is why how Nalakuvera and Manigriva talked about them, talked about the to them. So here, after that prayers, they say to Krishna, then Nalakuvera and Manigriva says to Krishna, we don't know your form. We are seeing you this beautiful form in front of us. But what is that form which has not manifested yet? Avyakta vyaktan sanatana. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, vyakto vyaktan sanatana. Material nature which is unmanifested. Beyond than that, there is an avyaktam. Avyaktam. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Vyakto vyaktan sanatana. Avyaktam. That is the Supreme Person, His form. And that we do not know. He says here, the Nalakavara and Manigriva says to them, we do not know. Because what we see now is what we see through our senses, isn't it? Through our senses we see this world. That's all we know, through the senses. So, how can we understand your true form, which is not manifested in this world of senses? Which is not manifested in the world of senses. And we don't have the strength for that. Because through senses, you can't see Krishna. You can't see Krishna. Seeing doesn't mean what you see with your naked eye. That is not seeing. From Shastram, the seeing does not mean that what you see with your eyes. What you experience in your consciousness, that is what you are actually seeing. When you experience something, that's why we say realization is more important than all the books and all the Shastram. What you realize, that is more important. Because that is what the reality is. Anubhavam, it is called anubhuti. There are various words they use. But because that is the only thing the soul is experiencing, this anubhuti, self-realization, in other words. So, he says, Brahmana viduhu. So, this form of Krishna is known to who experiences all that, Darya Brahmanishta. Tameva sarvabhudanam and dehi swalma. That means, that he who is present inside in that form, he controls all the bodies, all the senses, mind, and he is spoken like that. And you are Vishnu. Then they are asking, Nalakavera and Manigriva, asking permission from Krishna to go. Let us go to our, before that, this prayer, famous prayer of the last verse, 38th verse. 36 words is asking for permission to go. He says, Nama Parama Kalyanam, Nama Parama Mangala, Vasudevaya Shandai, Yadunam Pataye Nama. Anujanihimam, Pumam Tavan, Tavanujarakingarav, Darshanam no Bhagavata Krishirasil, Anugrahan. Then, last words, before they go, that is the last words they have spoken to Krishna. Vani Gunanu Kathane Shravano Kathayam, Hastav jakarma sumanas tava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishti sadam darshanestu bhavatanunam. That is important verse. Then, vani gunanu kathane shravano kathayam. In future, let the same mistake not happen to us. What was that? He says that due to our ignorance, we fell into that illusion. We never spoke about you. But from now on, that all our words, let that be centered around your glories. Your glories. Shravano kathayam. Vani gunanu kathane shravano kathayam. If you are speaking something, let that be talking about Krishna. If you are to hear something, let that be to hear about Krishna. And hastavaja karmasu manastavapadayornam. That if I have to do anything with these hands, whatever has to be done with the hands, let that be service to Krishna. And manastava padayorna. And if the mind has to be think about anything, has to absorb in anything, let that be in Krishna. And nismrityam shirastava nivasa jagal pranamna. That, and mind should completely absorb in remembrance Krishna. And the head, he says, head smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal pranami. All the time, let the head pay obeisances to Krishna wherever he is noticed, like in the temples, in front of the deity. And everywhere, wherever that Krishna is present, Krishna is worshipped, Krishna is glorified, in all those places, let the head pay obeisances to there, those places. Smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishti sadam darshanestu bhavatanunam. My eyes should always be absorbed in noticing who are the devotees, who are involved in Krishna consciousness. Let the association be there. In this way, so the first word you can hear here, that the thing mentioned about is guna kathanam, vani gunanu kathani. All the time one should talk about Krishna. That is the principle. All the time one should talk about Krishna. And as much as possible, we should not speak material topics. Material topics. As soon as you open the mouth, we should talk about Krishna consciousness. Nothing else. For example, when guests come home to visit, when the guests come, what we should do, first you should inquire about their welfare and you should take Srimad Bhagavatam and start reading out to them. So when you read Srimad Bhagavatam to him, what the benefit is, either it will become a good satsangam, if not they will never come again. That's a benefit if you do that. If you don't want any guest to turn up again, just read Srimad Bhagavatam to them. He will never come, he will never phone you, he will never waste your time. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, this is what we have to learn in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? To cultivate material life is not very difficult. It doesn't require much of an endeavor. To develop material life is not very difficult. But developing spiritual life is difficult, because in that process you will upset a lot of people. When you start doing all these things, and you got to upset them. Because if you don't upset them, they will waste your time, whole life, telling you all nonsense in this world and keep you absorbed in something or the other. Every day there will be a marriage. Do you know, in Vedas, there is nowhere mentioned about marriage. We think about marriage, we make a big issue of this marriage, isn't it? In Vedas, there is no mention of marriage anywhere. What is mentioned there is that, not in the Vedas, but in the Smritis, which were written by the sages later, where they brought some discipline into our life, they said that it is better to get married and control your senses in a restricted way and live a life like that. Otherwise, as far as Vedas are concerned, there is no need to get married even. But what happens now, particularly in India, you can see it's so strong now. This marriage has become the greatest celebration in the world life. His whole life is centered around this marriage business. And it becomes such a boring thing after a while that the whole family get together, party and shopping and all. If you make that such an extensive affair, you can waste all your time in this process. In this process. That is why it is important that when guests start coming for the marriage, best thing is to get some Srimad Bhagavatam copies. Give it to them each and start reading, and either they'll go with the Bhagavatam or they'll leave the Bhagavatam and they go. They leave the Bhagavatam there and they'll go. And that is the easiest way to filter them through. Those who want to listen to or not. Otherwise, this is an endless thing. They can waste. People cannot come out of their family life and material life because of all these problems. That keeps on growing and endless. Before it's known, one day you have to go. And where is Krishna consciousness then? Where is the time for any Krishna consciousness after that? Vani gunanu, that is why he says here that at least let that, if there is to be any association, let that be a satsangam. Talk about Krishna. So, tushyandija ramandija kadayandaschamam nityam tushyandija ramandija. That Bhagavad Gita also says that, isn't it? Kadayandaschamam nityam tushyandija ramandija. Talk about Krishna and engage in that. Always talk about Krishna. So, in order to that, to talk about Krishna and to enjoy Krishna consciousness, one has to have the taste for that. And only when there is bhakti inside the heart, and you will feel that you want to talk about Krishna. Otherwise, you won't feel. whatever subject is of taste to you, you will talk about that subject, isn't it? Whatever, suppose some people are interested in racing, motor car racing, they'll talk about motor car racing all the time. Somebody is interested in football, you'll talk about football all the time. So according to your taste, you will talk about those things. And one great devotee used to say, whatever you have eaten a lot, that will start burping out inside, isn't it? When you burp, that's the smell that comes from inside what you have eaten, in the same way. So one great personality was well educated, and during this independence movement, he goes and he wanted to organize a lot of people for fighting for independence. He was busy with that. So he went to one poor old sannyasi in an ashram and goes up to him and asked him, that sannyasi had a lot of people listening to him, talking from Bhagavad Gita. And he goes up to him and says, what is the use of all this life? He says. So sannyasi says to him, that you have come to ask me this question, what's the purpose of, what is your understanding? He said, we have to live well, we should eat well, we should sleep well, and we should enjoy life well. So he said that whatever you have eaten, it will come out. That's what you have eaten all this life. That's what it's coming out now in this way. So when this person was well educated in the college and university and all that, so he had somebody else with him. So he says to him that, said something in English, and that person, sannyasi, didn't understand. Sannyasi didn't understand what he was saying about it. So he says to him that he said, damn it or something. Something like that he said to him, because he was educated in that way at that time. So the other person did not understand. The sannyasi was talking, doesn't understand anything. He says to him, I don't know what you said, the meaning of the word he said. You said something like damn it or say. If that's what it means, if something is good meaning, that I'm damn it, he says, my father damn it, my mother damn it, granddad damn it, everybody damn it. But if the bad damn it, you are damn it, your father is damn it, your granddad is damn it. He didn't understand the meaning, he said. So he answered him like that. He said, so similarly, inside our mind, what is there, that's what will come out, isn't it? So all the time, some great devotees also, once it so happened, a very great devotee, he became very sick. He got cancer. He got the cancer and the doctor came and he told him that don't talk to anybody because the cancer was in the throat. It was hurting him very much. Don't speak to anybody, he said. Then he says to him, but after hearing from him, he says to him, you can talk to me. He says, but don't talk to anybody else. Because the doctor found out that was an opportunity to hear from a great soul about Krishna consciousness. So he took advantage of that. And so person who have developed, the doctor was a devotee. So he has developed that taste for that. And he said, Vani Kunanu Kathani. And control the tongue in that way. Many, many great devotees, when they wrote songs, if you look into the song, there is nothing much in there. In the sense, three or four words, that's all. Three or four words. And you may think, why these songs are so popular and so important? For example, I give you some of the examples. There's a famous song in the classical music, Bruhi Mukundedi. Bruhi Mukundedi, it begins like that. The song is very simple. Bruhi Mukundedi, Rasane Bruhi Mukundedi. Sadashiva Brahmendra is saying to the tongue, always chant the holy name of Mukunda, Krishna. Bruhi Mukundedi, Bruhi means to chant the holy name Mukunda. Bruhi Mukundedi, Rasane, to the tongue, says Bruhi Mukundedi. Then he says, Keshava Madhava Govindedi, Krishna Ananda Sadanandedi, Bruhi Mukundedi. All Krishna's names, Keshava Madhava Govindedi, Krishna Ananda Sadanandedi, Bruhi Mukundedi. That is how that song goes. In almost all the big concerts, they will sing this song. And if you look at it, it is a simple composition of few words, Krishna's different names. But they became so popular. Why? because it's come from a soul who had that realization of that words. That is why it is. So here you can see that he is saying to the tongue, he stopped at one point. Sadashiva Brahmendra stopped talking. He won't talk to anybody. Completely he stopped. And it is after that this song has come from him, Brohi Mugunderi. That's what the importance of that song. He completely gave up talking at one stage in his life, and you would not get him to talk. He couldn't talk because if you remember the story I mentioned before, that he studied Shastram so well. The king in Mysore invited him into the palace to be the scholar in the palace. And many, many great scholars used to come through the Mysore Maharaja's palace, and he used to defeat all of them. He was so learned that he will defeat everybody. He has argument for everything. And he will defeat everyone, and he was becoming very popular at that time, in his time, Sadashiva Brahmendra. So a god brother of him, who knew about this person well, went to their spiritual master and told him that this is what Sadashiva is doing at the moment. He is in that scholar, he is sitting there. In them days, these were the big things in life. Nowadays, making money, owning big factories, businesses, these things have become important. In them days, kings, when they ruled, kings had invited big, big scholars, and if you are invited into the palace to be a scholar there, you are considered very important in life. That is what was the big engagement considered to be. So Sadashiva Brahmendra was like that, got absorbed in all these things. So his god brother went and told his spiritual master, this is what Sadashiva is doing at the moment. He is sitting in the palace and arguing with everyone, and with his knowledge and sharp intellect, he is beating everybody down, he said. Immediately, the spiritual master called him back to the mat and told him, Sadashiva, don't open your mouth again. Will you shut up? He said. That's how he stopped him talking. Otherwise, he couldn't stop talking. He was like that. So somebody had to tell him at the end. After that, Sadashiva Brahmendra never spoke one word. He understood it is all a waste of time at the end. What's the use becoming a big scholar in the court of a big king and getting all the time recognition, presents and gifts, everything from the king? All waste of time at the end. Because ultimately somebody had to tell him, all this knowledge and everything, if it's not developed into realization, what good is it? So that was the point, that they were so internal in their internal understanding of Krishna consciousness, that if we don't get the full benefit of spiritual life, then all our spiritual activities also at the end is not worthwhile, isn't it? If the results are not coming, that ultimately self-realization hasn't happened, what good is it of all the activities what you have done in this world? Sometimes we say, oh, whatever we have done, it will be transferred to the next life and it will continue from there. We'll take a shelter in that way. But that is not the right way. The right way is to accept that in very life itself, if we could get to realize the truth, that is the success of spiritual life. So that's why he's saying here that Bruhi Mugundedi, Rasane Bruhi Mugundedi, Keshava Madhava Govindedi, Krishna Ananda Sadanandedi, Bruhi Mugundedi. So if we continuously chant prayers like this, and somehow or the other train the tongue to chant the holy name, and engage the tongue somehow or the other, and then it becomes easier. We will also say like this, chanting the holy name is the easiest process. And we also tell people in Kali Yugam, that's the only way. But you know very well, whatever we may say, chanting is not easy. Chanting is not easy. Why? The tongue won't agree. Tongue won't agree. Once it so happened, there was a discussion between the tongue and the teeth. Tongue and the teeth. There was a conversation. Tongue says to the teeth, you are such a nice person. The tongue is saying to the teeth, everything what comes, you nicely grind it, make it a powder or a paste and gives it to me so that I can enjoy it. So you are a real karma yogi. You are not asking anything from me. Without expecting any results, you are continuously doing this for me. Who is saying this? Tongue is saying this to the teeth. Tongue is saying to the teeth. Karma yoga is like that, isn't it? Without expectation of any results or without any ownership, I am the doer. You are continuously doing this. The tongue is doing this. So the teeth is doing this. So the tongue says to the teeth in that way. So can I do can I do anything in return? The tongue has told the teeth. Teeth says to him, you have glorified me, that's enough. I'm happy with that. But I have one thing to tell you. What is that? That as much as possible, don't talk. Because if you talk, what happens is somebody will beat me. And when they beat, my tongue will fall. I'll lose my position from here. We say like that, isn't it? If you beat up somebody, the teeth has fallen off. If you get strongly beaten. So if you want to do any favor to me, the teeth is saying to the tongue, don't talk. That's the greatest favor you can do for me. Because from talking comes all the problems, isn't it? When you talk something, it comes out and then it creates problems later. So that is the conversation between tongue and the teeth. So, that is the only mistake you are making, and therefore please be controlled. So that is why, in order to create some discipline in life, it is mentioned that we have to have some pattern, way of life, some controlled way of life. So to create that nishtha, otherwise we will forget that. All these programs, getting up in the morning, engaging in Mangalarati and Guru Puja, and so many other programs in the temple or at home, whatever one does, is with this idea that there is some discipline in life. At least at that time, we won't go and do something nonsense. In that way, to bring some discipline into life. So, once we get the taste for the holy name, then attraction for the world outside will go away. At least the tongue will engage in chanting the holy name. Vani gunanu kathane. Vani gunanu kathane means that kathanam. These are important words in the Bhagavatam. Kathanam. Kathana means, it is not the world, the knowledge of the world. Knowledge of the world, not the activities in this world. But as far as the world is concerned, Bhagavatam is saying to us, you have to say the good things and you have to say the bad things of this world. The problem is that in the world outside, normal tendency is to speak about good things and bad things, isn't it? That's our normal tendency. If you talk anything good about something, the next thing if you observe, you can see the bad things will come in the mind immediately after that. So therefore, Bhagavatam says, don't say anything good or bad about anything. This is a difficult concept. Normally our nature is that we will say good things. We say, oh, I'm only saying good things about a person. We say like that, isn't it? We talk about good things about others, or you shouldn't talk bad about others, we say. We talk about good things about others. If you see something bad, you close your eyes, don't take notice of it. We say like that. So don't say, this is our normal life in this world. We say good things and we say bad things. That is our life. Bhagavatam is saying, don't say good things about anybody. If you don't say good things about anybody, you won't say bad things also about anyone. That you have to look at that in that way. That's the way it is Krishna is saying here. Because if you say something good, bad things will follow. Straight away, it will come. Because the mind plays with you in that way. Mind will play with you. So contrast. In Valmiki Ramayanam, there are examples in this in the Puranam, particularly in the Puranam. In Valmiki Ramayanam, there is Hrutu Varnanam. Hrutu Varnanam means of the seasons, what is being spoken about, different seasons. How different seasons are changing. Ramachandra, Sita Devi and Lakshmana are going through the forest. When they are walking through the forest, the beauty of the forest in different seasons, how it changes, that's what is. In Godavari river, they arrived there and they have constructed a hut for them to stay. Ramchandra, Lakshmana and Sita Devi, they were living there. And in Brahma, early hours in the morning, they were going to Godavari river to bathe in the Godavari river. And who were going, Rama and Lakshmana, they were going together to bathe in the river. And it was very cold also at that time, quite cold. So Lakshmana says to Ramchandra that how cold it is, and it's colder than this in Sarayu river, which they have already crossed. They crossed the Sarayu river and they have come to Godavari river now. And Lakshmana is saying to Ramachandra, it's cold here, but it was colder in Sarayu river. Immediately comparison started. So, and it is in this cold weather, Bharata is performing his penances in Nandigram. When Ramchandra, Lakshmana and Sidadevi left Ayodhya, Bharata also left and came to Nandigram and stayed in Nandigram, where it's also cold, and he was performing penances there without taking any food and only eating a few grains every day till Ramchandra comes back. I will stay like this and control the and manage the administration, he said. And when Bharata spoke like this, and he said that Bharata is a great Mahatma, that he is able to perform like that. When Lakshmana mentioned like this, Ramchandra turned back to Lakshmana and said to him, never speak like that, he said. Never glorify Bharata, he says. Never glorify Bharata. Because if you glorify Bharata, you won't be able to stop there. And if you carefully give attention to it, you will notice this happening in our own life all the time. If you start glorifying someone, you will have somebody else you have to curse to balance it properly. That's the way the world is. You will notice this all the time. You glorify someone, immediately after a while you will have to curse someone. Otherwise this glorification creates such a strong wave inside. To balance it down, you have to curse somebody. That's the way the mind. So Ramachandra turned around to Lakshmana and said to him, don't talk about it. And exactly that's what happened. What happened was, after glorifying Bharata like says, straight away he turns around and says to Ramachandra, that Kaikeyi, I will never forgive her. She was such a nonsense, he said. Look at that, how our attention goes like that. Isn't it? Because ultimately what happened was, Lakshmana says to him, all this has happened because of that Kaikeyi. Lakshmana is saying there. And because our father, he made such a foolish decision. Talking about Dasharatha, he says here that such a nice son like you, he has sent you to the forest. And he says to him that Ramchandra turned back and says to him, tells Lakshmana, Lakshmana, stop it now. That's enough. Only Ramchandra can see that problem. Spiritual life means freedom from all these things. This talking good and talking bad about others. Neither of them helps in spiritual life. That is why what he mentioned there was, Jida Swargatva Bharata Bharadena Mahatmana Vanastam Abhidabhasya Yatvam Anuvidhiyade. That even though you are in forest far away from him, he is following you in the practice of austerities. Who is saying this? Lakshmana is saying this. That although Bharata is far away from Ramchandra, because Bharata is staying back there, he is following in the practice of austerities, and such a brother of yours, that great soul Bharata has refused to go back to the spiritual world. Bharata says, Vanastam abhida abhasse yatvam anuvithiyade. That he does not want any happiness in life till you return. Such a great soul Bharata is. So Lakshmana glorified Bharata in that way. Then he says there, Na pidriyam anuvartande matriyam dvipada iti khyado loka pravadoyam bharadenyatra kriyada. That human beings, I don't understand, he said. Who says this? Our Lakshmana. He says, I can't understand the attitude of my father. Our father, which is Dasharatha. He says that they take off their mothers is the well-known maxim in the world. But Bharata rendered it otherwise. That means, normally, normally we have a saying, isn't it? The sons follow the mother and the daughters follow the father. It's a general statement in the society. So accordingly, Bharata should have followed Kaikeyi. But she didn't do that. This is what I don't understand. Who Bharata says this to Ramchandra. So he says that well-known maxim, attitude they take of their mothers is the well-known maxim in the world. But Bharata rendered it otherwise. Bharata didn't act like that. Bharata rather followed the brother, Ramachandra, rather than the... mother like son and father like daughter. That's how it is spoken, isn't it? Mother like son and father like daughter. So that is a general statement. So Bharata is asking Ramachandra, why is it like this, that it is different? That Bharata has not followed Kaikeyi. Because Kaikeyi was so bad, but because in Bharata's mind, he is comparing now between Bharata and Kaikeyi. Lakshmana is comparing that and talking like this. So, at that time, Ramachandra was very firm and says to Lakshmana, Lakshmana, if you want to say anything about Bharata, you can say, but don't talk about Kaikeyi, he says. And explains to Lakshmana that for our happiness and distress, nobody is responsible. Nobody is responsible. It's coming from the Purva Karma, previous karma what we have performed. So, therefore, if you insult someone and speak badly about someone, it will cause problems. It will only actually dirty yourself inside. You will become dirty and you will become impure inside. This is in the Ramayana. When it came to Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna was very forthright about this. Without any mixing words, he said that. You know that? How he said? If you look into Ekadasha Skandam, in the 28th chapter, I think it is the 28th chapter, the last instructions to Uddhava. Very last instruction to Uddhava. With almost the end of Uddhavadesham, very much, and he has to say that, that was in the 28th chapter, yeah. If you look into 28th chapter, Krishna is saying to Uddhava about the nature of the truth of this world, the truth of this world. It's worthwhile studying that chapter and keeping it in your head if it's possible, because they are truth. And that you can't contest that. It's coming from Krishna, coming to Uddhava at the very last minute. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, first verse. Paraswabhava karmani na prashamsen na garhayed vishwamegalmagam pashyan pragritya purushena cha. Krishna is saying, Paraswabhava karmani, others swabhavam and others karmam. Na prashamsayet, na garhayet. You don't have to glorify that. You don't have to criticize that either. Paraswabhava karmani, na prashamsayet, na garhayet. Others' swabhavam, others' nature, others' karmam should never be glorified or should never be criticized. Normally our tendency is somebody has done something, we will glorify to the maximum, isn't it? He has done so well, we say. And if we do like that, unfortunately we are doing not a favor to him. His ego will get stronger and he will become a trouble more. So therefore it should not be spoken. Paraswabhava karmani, but from a spiritual position if you look at it, the reason Krishna says here, Vishwam Ekalmagam. What does that mean? Vishwam Ekalmagam means, practically in the creation, there is only consciousness. That's the only thing what is in this creation. Everything else is dead matter. Who are we glorifying? The consciousness which is pervading in everyone is one. Isn't it? There's only one consciousness, soul. The soul is addressed as consciousness sometimes. Soul is addressed as Brahman sometimes. Soul is addressed in different names at different times. But what is in this whole creation is only consciousness. That consciousness is Ekalmagam. That's one. Ekalmagam means one. It doesn't have multiplicity there. Vishwam Ekalmagam Pashyan Pragritya Purushena Cha. And it is that consciousness that is coming here in two different ways as Purusha and Prakriti. Shastram will address that as Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha and Prakriti is the same consciousness, Brahmam, in other words, comes as Purusha and Prakriti. Now, I don't know how it's translated in our Bhagavadam, all this is. There may be some differences, and because of the way they approach the explain these things, but directly if you take the meaning, Vishwam ekalmagam pashyen prakritya purushenaja. Sridhara Swami's commentary on this is purely based on this understanding that paraswabhava karmani na prashamset na grahayet Vishwam ekalmagam pashyen prakritya purushenaja. That Prakriti and Purusha, two things, it has come from that consciousness Brahmam. Brahmam comes as Mahatattvam, Mahatattvam, Ahamtattvam, then like that it comes Maya. All this is in the process of creation it happens. But originally there is only pure consciousness, Vishwam, Ekalmagam, that is one, that soul. And immediately therefore, because it is like that, you should see this, Krishna says to Uddhava, therefore, you should see this whole world as one, and therefore, should not criticize others, or you should not glorify others. You should not either glorify their actions or their nature, or you should not criticize their action or their nature. That is happening in Prakriti, in Maya. It has nothing to do with the reality. Nothing to do with the reality. And then he says here, next, immediately after that, Krishna said, Parasvabhava karmani. Ya prashamsati ya nindati sa ashubhrashyate swarthal asatyam abhinivesadah. Paraswabhava karmani ya prashamsati nindati ya ashubhrashyate swarthal asatyam abhinivesadah. One who deliberately create problems by glorifying somebody else's nature, swabhavam, or his karmam, if he either glorifies that or if he criticizes that, actually, you can take it. Krishna says to Uddhava, sa ashubhrashyate, because due to his attachment to this falsity of this world, he has fallen down from his spiritual position. This is supposed to be the position of a realized soul, sannyasi or a realized soul. That parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindadi sa ashubhrashyate, he is already fallen down. Why? Asatyam abhiniveshada. Swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. He is holding on to asatyam, falsity, because he has attachment for falsity. Now, this is a very interesting subject, isn't it? People always ask this question. You should call a spade a spade, they say. Or all these kind of things comes from there. People ask this question, should we criticize or should we not criticize? On the one side, they say, people do all sorts of nonsense and they say, you should not criticize, it's Vaishnava Abharadam. Don't criticize anybody. Because they will do every nonsense and they'll tell others, don't criticize anyone. That's one side. The other side is saying, everything what you are doing is nonsense. So, where do you get this? But, the point is, what Krishna is making here, if you are serious about spiritual life, all these things doesn't matter. Who wants to do nonsense, let them do nonsense and get on with their life. And those who don't want to do anything, or those who are criticizing others, let them also continue with their business. None of them can really come to the truth. Why? Both of them have fallen down actually anyway. Both of them are fallen. This is what is Krishna's point. Parasvabhava karmani ya prashamsati ya nindati sa ashubhrashyate is already bramsham. Bramsham has happened to him. He has already fallen anyway. Asartha swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Asatyam abhiniveshada. If one criticizes someone else, what normally happens is that person wants to counteract in some way or the other. Then it becomes a war of propaganda. Isn't it? War of propaganda. So somebody will take to newspaper or somebody will take to the websites and somebody will use through the media, in whichever way possible, they will try to justify their actions. Practically, you can see this ends up only in a war, mutual war of propaganda through the media. It ends up like that, trying to establish themselves in one way or the other. But all this is, as far as self-realization is concerned, Krishna is saying, don't waste your time because you have already fallen in that state. Sa ashubhrashyade, you are already fallen. Ashubhrashyade, swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Look at the subtlety of that verse, only then you can understand that. Why you have fallen? You know why Krishna is saying that? Swartham. Because of your selfishness, you have no realization in you, because of that you have fallen. Why? You have abhinivesham. Abhinivesham means your attachment is for asatyam. Asatyam abhiniveshada. Asatyam means the issue on which two parties are arguing each other. I am right and other party is saying he is right. Both are arguing each other. As far as the substance is concerned, it is a false thing. It is on the false thing that they are arguing each other. Is it not? Many times you can see in this world, when two people are arguing about something, they are talking about something which is very false. In reality, it doesn't exist. Whether it is property, whether it is fame, whether it is wealth, whether it is anything for that matter, all the arguments are centered around something which are false. In reality, it has no existence. That is the point Krishna is pointing out here. Sa ashubhrashyade, you are already fallen down because of your asatyam abhiniveshada. You are only holding on to the falsity and you are arguing each other. And therefore, this karmam and swabhavam, you have no right to criticize anybody or to glorify anyone. Either of them, both are wrong because the substance itself is wrong. What we are arguing about, isn't it? What we are arguing about, you can see in devotees' life also this is happening all the time. Many devotees are busy in finding everything that has gone wrong, and some devotees are continuously trying to defend everything was right, they say. So all these arguments mutually, what benefit will come out of it? Why? That's point Krishna is making. Why? This is more important than the other. Who is arguing what is not the issue? The whole topic of discussion itself is a wrong thing. Paraswabhava karmani na prashamsam nagrahayet vishwamegalmagam pashyan prakritya purushena cham. Paraswabhava karmani ya prashamsati nindadi sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. If you read all these things and if you see that subtle points what Krishna is making there, you will have no interest in all these arguments. It also won't make any sense to you. Because asatyam abhinivesha, holding on to some false things, you are arguing. The very fact you are trying to establish through your argument itself is false. That is a falsity, isn't it? That so many things, Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada said that, and then argue about it, and you can keep on arguing for the rest of the life. What will come out of it at the end? Nothing will happen. You have argued, you proved your point. You can see sometimes in the websites how the argument goes on and on and on. And endlessly, both sides wants to win. Krishna is saying here, sa ashubhrashyade swarthala satyana abhiniveshada. Due to because you have no realization of the truth, you are already holding on to something false, and due to that, you have already fallen down, he says. That is Krishna's approach to the issue, and that is the perfect understanding, because this is why great devotees and great realized souls, they don't have any argument in this world because of this. They have no argument here because the whole place is a nonsense, everything what goes on here. And many verses after that is all about the realized state. That's why I was saying that those kim badram kim abadram va, if you look into the fourth verse, kim badram kim abadram va dvaidasyal vastunakiyan va jodidam tad anrudam manasadhyadam eva va. If you remember all these verses, you won't get into arguments unnecessarily. Krishna is saying here, kim badram kim abadram va, what is auspicious in this world? What is inauspicious in this world? Krishna is asking. Kim badram, kim abadram va? Why? Dvaidasyal vasuna kiyat. Everything is duality here. Everything is duality. If you are happiness, you will have distress tomorrow. If you are glorified today, somebody will insult you tomorrow. If you are happy today, you will be miserable tomorrow. So like this, one thing or the other keeps coming, and none of them is a reality. It's all based on the duality of the material world. So that's why it says here, kim badram, kim abadram va? Dvaidasyal vastu na kiyal. Except dvaidam, what else is there in this world? Then he says, vajodidam tad anurdam manasadhyadam evavam. Vajoditam tadamrutam. Whatever you have spoken, it's all lie, Krishna says. Whatever you are speaking with your mouth, it's all a lie anyway. Vajoditam tadamrutam. And whatever you have thought in your mind, manaso dhyadamevava, that's also a lie. None of them is a reality. This is the important thing. Krishna is telling us that unless you become spiritual in your consciousness, you can't get out of the falsity of this world. And these are instructions to Uddhava at the very last minute. Paramasatyam and discussion about the truth. So realization means all this. Not that what you have done in this world, all your activities and all will come and go. Nobody is going to take notice of all these things. Whether you have become this or that or... But that inside what has happened, that is more important. And there is no change. We are all busy with the world outside, how to change the world, how to make the make this world a better place. Krishna says, don't waste your time. You are not going to happen. Many people have come and tried to change this world. They couldn't do it. So that is what's coming through those verses. Krishna is saying to us, Manaso kim badram kim abhadram. And the beautiful way Krishna puts it, kim bedram kim abhadram va daidvasyam vastu nakhiyal vajoditam tadamrdam manasadhyatam evacham chaya pratyahvaya abhyasa asandho pyarthakarina evam dehadayo bhava yachandya amrityuto bhayam. Then he says, chaya pratyahvaya abhyasa asandho pyarthakarina. Anything that is reflection and is like, he says, just like the snake and the rope. You see snake and the rope, how you can misunderstand easily. But it does create a distress in life. When you see the rope and mistake it for the snake, it does cause problem, isn't it? At least for that moment you are frightened about the snake and it creates a fear inside. Similarly, although this body is a false thing, if you understand this body properly, this body has no meaning practically. It has a very temporary existence and nobody understands this properly either. But unfortunately, due to adhyasam, adhyasam means due to our identification with this body, we have to suffer. That's the reality. As long as we are identifying with the body, you have to suffer. Adhyasam. So that's why he says, evam dehadayo bhavo yachandya mrityudo bhayam. So long as you are identifying with the body, you have to go through this cycle of birth and death. So long as you are identifying with the body. Till you come out of this identification with the soul, this process of suffering from the body will continue. Suffering the body will continue. All those verses, each one of them are important. Very powerful verses. As a conclusion, probably Krishna has charged Uddhava with the knowledge to the highest degree and sent him back from Prabhasam. When he went to Badrinath, Uddhava, this is what I am going to tell you now. Listen to this. Keep this verse in your head. Go there and meditate on that. In this knowledge. And that is why that 28th chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a very important chapter. And it is after that in the 29th chapter when Uddhava got this heavy dose from Krishna in this chapter. He says to Krishna, it is very difficult. He says, like Arjuna said, Uddhava also said, Sudushcharam imam manye. 29th chapter begins like that. It's very difficult, he says. So at that time, it was then that first two verses, if you look in the 29th chapter, Krishna says, after getting this heavy dose, this 28th chapter is a very powerful verses and very high degree of realization from Krishna talking about it. And after hearing all that, Uddhava could not stand that. He could not he realized the difficulty of spiritual life. We make spiritual life very easy, isn't it? But when you read that chapter, you can see how difficult the spiritual life is to stay in that state. So Uddhava Uvacha, if you look in the 29th chapter, you will see that helpless state in Uddhava. Uddhava, total helplessness, he is saying, Sudushcharam imam manye yogacharyamanal manaha yadanjasa puman siddhil tatme bruhyanja sachya achudam. Achuda, Uddhava says, Achuda to Krishna, this thing what you have spoken to me now is not easy, he says. It's not easy, especially for one who has no control on the senses. who has no control on the senses. Therefore, please tell me something easy process, some easy thing you can tell me, whereby I can reach the same state. We also look the same, isn't it? We also say the same thing. Is there any shortcut? Because people know this, there is no shortcut in spiritual life. So what most of the organizations do, they know the weakness of the people who are coming. So they will tell them, look, we have got a much easier process than that. No process is easy, whether it is bhakti or jnanam or karma. Everything requires a lot of surrender and dedication. But some institutions, they will say to you, look, look, we can give you everything in a package. It's a 10 days course or seminar. You come and we'll teach you how to do meditation. Everything will be sorted in 10 days time. People are so equally foolish. They'll go and pay and they'll join the course, thinking that, oh, 10 days time. Some people told me that some devotees, when they joined Hare Krishna movement, they said they thought they'll be realizing themselves within a year or so. Maximum 1 year, they said. That's how they understood. What can you do? So the same thing goes on even today. People are saying like this, and people are going for the courses and seminars and taking meditation course or this or that, pay for it. If 10 days we can, 10 days I can afford. I can't afford more than that. 10 days I can give the time. It doesn't work like that. Uddhava is saying here to Krishna, Sudhuscharamimam manye. Yoga, those who have not studied Srimad Bhagavatam, they will get victimized by all these things. Victimized all. There is no shortcut in spiritual life. Spiritual life is simple, but at the same time, you have to follow the process what Krishna has spoken. There is no other way. How much we accept Krishna's words, that is the most important thing. Accept means how much it becomes our life in this world. If, remember, in the beginning itself, that's what Krishna is saying here. Vyavasaya Almiya Buddhi Egeha Kurunandana. Krishna says, isn't it? Vyavasaya Almiya Buddhi Egeha Kurunandana. There is only one route for him. One who has got this Vyavasaya Almiya Buddhi. Is it not? And then whatever Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita, that is the final word. There is nothing after that to say anything. Once who has spoken Ekadasha Skandam like this, Krishna, who has given this 28th chapter to Uddhava, even great, great personalities, they are amazed by this package, the 28th chapter, as even more powerful than the Bhagavad Gita. That is why Uddhopadesham is considered to be a little higher level on a Bhagavad Gita's philosophy. Because these things Krishna has spoken to such an explicit way in the Bhagavad Gita, just like this 28th chapter. So when you study this 28th chapter and the Bhagavad Gita properly, then you will know that you can't market spiritual life like the way we are marketing these days. We are trying to make it simple for people so we can market it properly. Better not to market spiritual life. It's better to keep quiet. In the process of marketing, you are degrading yourself by doing that. That is the important thing. That's why Krishna says here, if you look, Uddhava says to Krishna, Prayasha Pundari Raksha Yunjando Yogino Manaha Vishidanti Asamadhanam Mano Nigraha Karshidaha. Uddhava is saying the problem. What the problem is? Problem is Pundari Raksha addressing Krishna. Prayasha, first of all, my age. I am 124 years old. Uddhava is 124 years old. Prayasha Pundari Raksha and great yogis Yunjando Yogino Mana. Big, big yogis who are much more powerful and strong in their mind, they have tried to control their mind and they have failed in controlling their mind, and eventually they have lost the control of their mind and they don't know which direction to turn. Which direction to turn? This has happened to great, great yogis. When we talk about yogis, you can't just write them off. After all, they have completely detached from this world. No family life, no acquiring wealth in this world, and no sense gratification. It's not easy. And going to some great caves in Himalaya mountains and living there in such severe austerities and penances, that requires a strength inside. It's not easy otherwise, isn't it? So even they struggled hard to control their mind and they have failed. And you are telling me to do these things.
ഹീസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഉദ്ധവ ഇസ് ആസ്കിംഗ് കൃഷ്ണ വിഷീദന്റെ അസമാധാനം മനോ നിഗ്രഹ കർഷിതാഹ ദാറ്റ് വേർ ഈസ് എ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഓഫ് ഹാവിംഗ് എനി സമാധാനം ഇൻസൈഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഐ ഹാവ് ദ തിങ് കോൾഡ് മൈൻഡ് ഇൻസൈഡ് മനോ നിഗ്രഹ കർഷിത ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് സോ ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് ടു കൺട്രോൾ ദിസ് മൈൻഡ് ഉദ്ധവ who is had association with Krishna for almost 120 years and who was the closest to Krishna than anyone else in this world and who even got the certificate from Krishna that what did he says to him Krishna says to Uddhava that naja sangarshanam shri naivalma cha yatha bhavan isn't it earlier you remember in the 14th chapter what Krishna said to Uddhava Krishna says to Uddhava Uddhava it is like this you are so dear to me that if you look into the 14th chapter you will see that Krishna says to him verse 15
nathadame priyatama aatmayo nirna shankara naja sangarshanam shri naivaatma jayatha bhavan
Krishna saying to where can you get a better certificate than this If you say to anybody that you are a devotee, it's there is only actually one devotee, that is Uddhava. Uddhava's devotion, look at that. And who has to say to us that you are a devotee? Krishna has to say. When Krishna says you are a devotee, you are a devotee. Not that somebody else has said to you that you are a devotee. Then you don't become a devotee. Actually, it is Krishna's certification. Krishna says, Na tatha me priyadama. Nobody is dear to me like you. ആത്മയോനി അർന്ന ശങ്കര നോ ലോർഡ് ബ്രഹ്മ ലോർഡ് ശിവ ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഈവൻ ഡിയർ ടു മീ വൈ ന ച സംഘർഷണം ന ശ്രീ ലോർഡ് ബൽറാം ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഡിയർ ടു മീ ന ശ്രീ നോട്ട് ഈവൻ ലക്ഷ്മീദേവി ഈസ് ഡിയർ ടു മീ ആൻഡ് വാട്ട് ടു സേ എനിത്തിങ് എൽസ് നൈവ ആത്മ ഈ മൈസെൽഫ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് ഡിയർ ടു മീ ച യഥാ ഭവാൻ ലൈക്ക് യു സോ ദാറ്റ് ഉദ്ധവ ഹു ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് ദിസ് സർട്ടിഫിക്കറ്റ് ഫ്രം കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ ഇറ്റ്സ് ഡിഫിക്കൽട്ട് It's difficult what you have spoken. This is spiritual life. From this you can understand that there is no shortcut in spiritual life. There is no shortcut in spiritual life. Either we have to accept Srimad Bhagavatam and the words of Krishna and Uddhava and follow their footsteps, what they have told us. Otherwise, we have to do what we think is proper. So, here Uddhava says to him in that verse, you can see 28th verse, 28th chapter, this is 29th chapter, Krishna, he says to him that Prayasha Pundarikaksha Yunjando Yogino Mana Vishidhan Dasamadhanam Mano Nigraha Karshida And after that, when Uddhava said all these things to Krishna, because 28th chapter, if you can realize it, you got it. If that 28th chapter, if you read it, And if your consciousness is situated in that state, then you got it. There's no question about that. But the difficulty of doing that, Uddhava knew very well. And that's why Uddhava said that to Krishna in that way. So here, we're coming back to Srimad Bhagavatam. It says here that Katha, we are talking about Katha, isn't it? So, coming back to this, yes, katha kathanam. So, that's why we are saying, mentioning here that why we should not speak good and bad. This is the why we started this conversation about, isn't it? Completely forgotten that. We started from somewhere, ended up somewhere else. So, anyway, why we shouldn't speak good and bad about it? Reason is this. That's why. As soon as you speak good about someone, immediately you have to speak bad about somebody. That is the way the duality in this world work. Therefore, better not to speak anything good about anyone or not to bad also about anybody. Because in Maya, so many things will happen. You can't do anything. It is Maya. Maya's world it is. She will make you feel something is right today and she will make you feel something else is right tomorrow. That's the way Maya work. There's a sometimes you will see certain... political issues or some issues which have not been solved in this world for a very long period of time. There are issues like that, isn't it? For a long period of time, there is no solution to the problem. Political issues.
Like this, say for example, the issue about Palestine issue. I'm just giving an example, that's all. Palestine issue. If you look back into the history of Palestine, and for thousands and thousands of years, how people have fought over Palestine. Jews have fought for that, Christians have fought for that, Muslims have fought for that. They were all fighting, and every time one was coming and controlling the other two. In this way, it followed a pattern, kept on going on like this, and it never stops. It goes on and on and on and on. Never comes to an end. Now, if you look back in the history, and if you see that sometimes it was controlled by Jewish population, another time Christian population, crusades happened, Muslim population, different people have tried to control, take control over the control over the Jerusalem. They were trying to control over Jerusalem. What Krishna is saying to us is, if you are spiritual and understood properly, these are not spiritual life. This is all misunderstanding. Somebody is saying, this is a holy place for me. Somebody else is saying, that's a holy place for me. And someone else is also saying the same thing. It's all holy place. But if your spirituality is centered around falsity, this is falsity actually. Because Krishna's point is, kim bhadram kim abhadram va, that verses in that chapter, kim bhadram kim abhadram va, you are considered one place is holy and one place is unholy. That is where it is started. Actually, neither nothing is holy here, nothing is unholy here. It is Maya's domain. Maya is making you think that this is holy for some time and making you to fight each other. And some other time, Maya says it's not a holy place. New York or Washington or London becomes a holy place. So anything and Maya can create in front of us and put us through this, all this business. So to realize that and not to get trapped in that is knowledge. Not to get trapped in that is knowledge. But spiritual realization helps a person to withdraw from this and become more internal and to come to terms with the reality. What is the reality? That is what Krishna is talking about here. For us, reality is Maya. That is the problem. For Krishna, reality is separated from Maya. Reality is something different from Maya. In Maya's world, anything what's happening here is not real. Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya, Vedas are talking about this attachment to the world. We could fight the whole generation after generation, we can keep fighting in this world on some issue or the other. Isn't it? You can create many, many issues like this. And some issue, it flares up and then it goes many, many generations and never able to... They are thinking, the leaders are saying, oh no, no, we should have meeting all the time. And have discussion, discussion. What discussion can help? You are talking and holding on to some nonsense and you are discussing about it. What solution for the problem? So unless people are educated in spiritual life and spiritual knowledge comes to them, proper spiritual knowledge, they will keep on fighting and arguing about things which have no relevance with the truth. Truth is something different than all this. Is it not? Truth is something different than all these things. Who is interested in the truth? They are interested in the walls. They are interested in the land. They are interested in the buildings. They are interested in the property and all the kind of things. But truth, Krishna says, one who wants to realize the truth, that is there inside him. That is where the realization must happen. That's why Krishna is saying there, kim bhadram kim abhadram va, why you are arguing about what is good here and what is bad here. Everything is at the end. Krishna says to consider something is good and bad itself is bad. That is Krishna's point. That's why whatever Krishna has spoken is the knowledge of the sages who have analyzed this world in such a deeper level and they have given us the solution also. That if you want to make spiritual advancement, you have to come out of this duality of the material world. Freedom from the duality. It is for this reason only there is a chapter in the Bhagavad Gita called from the freedom from the duality. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, one chapter. Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga, another chapter. These are all chapters in the future what we'll talking about. Krishna is bringing us into such a subtle level and explaining to us, look, this is the reality. If you accept this reality, there is no question of falling trapped into any of these things. Gunatraya Vibhagam Dvandvadidan, that is the word Krishna uses. You know one thing, in Bhagavad Gita, there are so many terminology used. to refer to the same thing. Krishna calls devotee, bhakta, karma yogi, jnana yogi, jnani, dvandvadidan, gunadidan, sthita prajnan. These are all different words. That's all. Words are different. But if you look into their realization, it is the same. They all have the same pattern of realization. Their realizations, if you read, you will see they all speak the same language. They have got only one thing to tell us. Only truth is the soul. Spirit is the only reality. Consciousness is the only reality. Inside us, present inside all of us, all the time, giving us the existence, awareness, consciousness of our existence. That is the only truth in this world. Everything else is false. Because that is why, in the very beginning itself, Krishna said, na asado vidyate bhavaha, na abhavo vidyate sataha, ubhayorabe drishtvandam. That words requires such a deep reflection. The more we reflect on that verse, you will see that all the problems of this world is because that verse has not been understood properly. People don't have the time. They want everything like a traffic light rules. They can't reflect on anything. When Krishna says something, nasato vidyade bhava, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayorabe drishtvandam, sanayor tatvadarshibi, tatvadarshi. One who has realized the truth, they are saying to us, this is it. Nothing more than that. If you accept that, then that solves the problem. So, in the Upanishads, these are spoken very strongly. That is why Upanishads knowledge is very much centered around spiritual realization. To take us out of the ignorance, there is no other way. Our ignorance will continue like this. We will fight for something or the other. Now we are fighting for this, fighting for that. There's always some issue in this world to fight for, isn't it? And if we spend the whole life fighting for, suppose, for example, you're saying this, that that Bhagavad Gita issue going on in Russia now about it, isn't it? If you accept Bhagavad Gita, there is no problem. But you're not accepting Bhagavad Gita, you're thinking fighting is more important. So what can you do? That whether those who want to accept the truth, Krishna says, Ubhayorami drishtvandam stanayor tattvadarshi. Tattvadarshis have seen the truth. Bhagavad Gita has been in Russia from since 1788 or something. So, anywhere you can create an issue and argue about it, issue argument is not about Bhagavad Gita at the moment. Argument is so many other things involved in that. But what I'm saying is that people who have this open mind and who can study Shastram properly, they will not be pulled away by all these kind of things. It has no meaning. It's not going to help at the end. That one point is, this message what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita, so long as we don't take it on board, all our other activities in this world doesn't mean anything. So Krishna is saying here that if you do not stay on the platform of the soul, mind will move. Mind will move outside. Instead of standing in your identity as spirit soul, it will enter into sense objects. Therefore, vani guna anukathane, that word. Vani guna anukathane, that you should only speak about the truth. That is the advantage. That is why that verse I mentioned to you, the last verse in the glorification is so important. Vani guna anukathane shravano kathayam. That if you have to speak anything, and if you think that you are only speaking the truth, you have to be only talking about Krishna. Otherwise, when we say talking about Krishna means about spirit soul, about the Brahman or self-realization. That's all the truth. Everything else is false in this world. So never talk about falsity. That is the point. Vani kuna anu kathane shravano kathayam. That verse, the last verse in the shravano kathayam. Hastauja karma sumanastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drushtisadam darshane stubhavatanunam. Vani guna anukathane shravano kathayam hastauja karma sumanastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drushtisadam darshane stubhavatanunam. That is the conclusion of the Nalakuvera and Manigriva. Nalakuvera and Manigriva is saying to Krishna that if ever we speak anything, it is not that Krishna is demanding that I should talk about me. No, why? Because if you don't talk about Krishna, you, whatever you are talking about other things in this world is all false. All false. That's why. Vani guna anukathane shravana kathayam hasto uja karma sumanastava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishtim sadam darshane subhavat tanunam. So, in the Upanishads it says that without Atmavidya or Brahmavidya, these are all same thing. Atmavidya means knowledge of the soul. Brahmavidya is knowledge of Brahman, which is the soul. It's not different. In different terminology uses in the Upanishads in different ways. Vangme manasi pratishtidam. Manome vaji pratishtidam. Vangme manasi pratishtidam. Mind is, Shruti says like this, that some of the important Shruti, the verses are, Vangme manasi pratishtidam. That mind is situated on the words, what you speak. See, how you can see this. When we talk, I am talking something, it comes through the lips out, comes from the mouth outside. But a lot of things have happened before that inside, isn't it? That is why sound is categorized into four. Para, Pashandi, Madhyama, Vaikari. Four state. Vaikari is the last expression of our thought. Thought is the beginning. Where the thought started, that is where it matters. The last phase of that expression is Vaikari, which is coming through the lips. It comes out. That is the last expression. But much before than that, there was para. Para means total silence. In that silent state, what was happening there? A first vibration happened there, and from there the movement started. And in the middle state, that's why it's called Madhyama, in the middle state where it is, and it becomes more real to you, that is the Pashyandi. You are seeing that truth. And Vaikari, it flows out through that. So, sound, it is a big science, Shabda Shastram. Shastram, because all the mantras in the Vedam is based on the Shabdam, isn't it? Shabdam is the whole technique behind it. For example, in all the Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam and all, there are thousands and thousands of hymns. Young boys are taught these hymns at a very early age. When they learn that, they don't know the meaning of all that. How can a 5-year, 7-year-old boy understand the meaning of the Vedic hymns? It's so complex. Even grown-up, learned people can't understand. But still, they are taught when they are 5 or 6 years old. And while teaching them, the importance is given on the Shabdam they produce. The sound they produce from their mouth, how it comes out. If the sound is not coming out correct, whatever they are reciting, it could have opposite effect. Because of the Shabda Brahmam, Shabdam is like that. That the nature of the Shabdam is, what you are speaking, the sound is not correct, it can have an opposite effect as well. It is, examples are there in the Bhagavadam also about that. So, what they do with the children at that age itself, to get that sound vibration correct, they try to twist their throat and move in different directions. Till they get it right, when you look at it, you may look very cruel to them, that you are doing something very cruel to them. But if you don't do that, there is so many obstacles inside to get cured of, so that when they start chanting, the chanting should be proper. And perhaps during the whole rest of the life, they may not even understand the meaning of the hymn, what they are chanting. But still, because they are chanting it correctly, the very sound itself is perfect, so it will have its effect, benefit from that. Like in the great temples, when they want to chant the Vedic mantra, they will invite those who had gone through this experience for life. So that when they chant, there will not be any mistake. There will not be any mistake. That's the way mantra operates. All the mantra shastram. The shastram of the mantra operates in that way. So, there is a Upanishad says, Bedram karnemi shuniyama devaha. That whatever all my senses, let that be auspicious to receive the message properly. And because when word is spoken from the mouth, where does it go? It enters into Shravanam. It starts hearing. The ears has to hear. Ears has to hear. That is where it happens. That is why if you look into Bhagavadam, Prithu Maharaj says there,
Mahattamandar Mukhambujachudo Vithalswa Karnayudhameshame Varaha.
When Krishna appeared in front of Prithu Maharaj and asked Prithu, what is the benediction you want? Prithu's answer is,
Mahattamandar Mukhambujachudo.
That when pure devotees, when they speak about you, about Krishna, whatever that drops out from their mouth, chudi means to fall out from their mouth, let all my body, all the cells in my body receive it properly. That is how he prayed to Krishna. It may look very strange, a prayer like this.
Mugatta mahattamandarandu mukhambujachyuto vithalswa karnayudhameshame vara.
The whole body, let it all become an ear to listen to the... In other words, when pure devotees or great souls, when they talk about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, that realization what they have inside will flow through their words. And let that words enter into my ears and purify me. This is how Prithu Maharaj prayed to Krishna. Vithalsa karnayidameshame vara. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.